jumping on with us today. A lot going on over here in the news world. So many stories that you probably didn't know about, we're going to tell you all about over the next, let's just say, 3 hours. So welcome to the show. A lot happening, like I mentioned today. Vice President J.D. Vance right now, just touching down in Israel. We'll bring you the latest as he works out the phase two of the Israel-Hamas peace agreement that they're trying to work on. Obviously, there's some disagreements in regards to the first phase of all of this. So he's looking to iron all of that out. Plus, we're going to dive into a judge in Chicago saying, you can't arrest migrants in my courthouse. And if you do, ICE agents, I'll arrest you. It's a bombshell story showing how rogue these judges really, really are and how they think they have authority over the federal government. But of course, they don't. So we'll talk about that later on in the show as well. Plus, James Comey, not happy, obviously, that he's been indicted, but now he's trying to pretend like he can't be indicted. And he's trying to ask a judge to toss out some of the severe charges that he's facing right now, which is crazy, given the fact that he actually committed serious crimes, worse than what he's actually charged with. So he probably should be happy that this is like a slap on the wrist when it comes to the allegations he's actually facing. President Trump has also been very, very busy over these last few hours talking Hamas, talking about eradicating Hamas, obviously, also tariffs, China. So a lot happening on that front that we're going to dive into. Plus, fake news was at it again, folks. And they're trying to say that President Trump was looking to commute Diddy's sentence. As many of you guys know, it was in regards to his sex trafficking case. He was only convicted on prostitution charges, and he's now looking at 4 years in prison. And then TMZ came out with a report yesterday, and it was quite jarring, considering the fact there are actual innocent people sitting in prison right now in need of President Trump's assistance. Well, the White House is speaking out, and I'll bring you the latest on that, because it's an interesting one, of course. Obviously, also, the government's still shut down. The federal government's still shut down. If your lifestyle hasn't changed, welcome to the party, folks. I think we're all still living the same kind of lifestyle we were living prior. And it's interesting to sit back and listen to those on the left try to argue and pretend like this is a Republican shutdown. And obviously, Republicans continuously are voting to reopen the government and to fund it. We'll bring you the latest on that front, though, in just a few moments. Plus, Karine Jean-Pierre, I'm pretty sure you were hoping that she was going to be gone. You would never have to hear that name again. But she's back because she's got a book to push. And interesting enough, she's not only defending Joe Biden, she's pretending like she had no idea about his health issues. It gets even worse. She's saying she's left the Democratic Party because, well, they weren't very nice to Joe Biden, even though they cleared the way for him to run for president, stole that election. And apparently she's not happy that they didn't let him do it again. So she's now speaking out because she has a book to push. And so we'll bring the very latest on that as well. Matt Marston is also going to be joining the show today because it's very interesting when we talk about Hollywood and how all of these major, major films are no longer being shot in Hollywood, even in Georgia. They're going overseas. President Trump, though, not allowing that. President Trump, for the last few months now, has been threatening to slap these films with 100% tariffs. You're wondering what the heck's going on here. Matthew Marston, as many of you know, he's an actor who obviously was pushed out because of his conservative views. He's going to be joining the show later today to sound off on all of this because he's seen what happens behind the scenes and he's got a lot to talk about. Also, James O'Keefe, I don't know how this even happens. Maybe it's just people are really stupid, but James O'Keefe for some reason can put on like a mustache or a wig and then people just tell him everything. There's a new video, a new report that he just dropped and his outfit is just on top of the wig. It's just so outrageous that it's hard to believe that someone actually fell for this. So we're going to be covering that as well because it's exposing government corruption and it's also exposing how stupid people really, really are. So we've got a lot to kick off to in today's show. Do not go anywhere. There's more American Journal on the way.
I also notice your cup is stained blue on the inside.
I've been caught.
You got a little, did you find some methylene blue floating around here?
I did, man. I commandeered some from Harrison's office.
Yeah, it's jonestore.com. Check out the supplements we have, 25% off apparel. Methylene blue you can get for 50% off if you get a subscription and you never run out. So,
amen.
I know Stuart's going to be looking for a bottle. I'm going to go try to track one down for him while...
if you don't mind, I'm a bottle that fills.
You like, oh, you like both. What do you like better?
You know what? I like them both.
Okay.
When I'm traveling, the pills definitely.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah, it's not going to, you're not worried about it breaking open or.
No, on the way over here, I took a couple.
Yeah.
You know, while I'm driving.
Yeah. So with driving, did you feel more alert while you were driving or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I took a couple shots while I'm in here in lieu of coffee. You guys ran out of coffee, so I went and got some methylene blue.
That's all he needs is a little methylene blue.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We are very excited that you are all joining us today. A lot going on in the world. President Trump just posting Truth Social in regards to Hamas and peace in the Middle East. So we're going to bring that to you in just a few moments. We also have J.D. Vance right now over in Israel trying to work out the phase two of the Israeli Hamas peace agreements. We wish him the very best, of course. But there's a lot of things that need to kind of be smoothed out on that front because so far phase one, not looking too good. President Trump taking to Truth Social though, just moments ago, I mean, literally 90 seconds ago to post that numerous of our great allies in the Middle East and surrounding areas in the Middle East have explicitly and strongly with great enthusiasm informed me that they would welcome the opportunity at my request to go into Gaza with heavy force and straighten out our Hamas. So it looks like, we're going to play this clip for you. It looks like President Trump is getting very serious about making sure that Hamas stops its violence. Now, they're not just advocating for them to stop attacking Israel. They're also advocating for them to stop attacking those within their own country because Palestinians have been dragged to the streets and executed in the streets. And the video has been posted online, so there's no denying it. We see it online. Again, folks, these are videos that are being posted by them themselves. So before you jump down anyone's backs, realize that. So President Trump really coming out here swinging, it looks like, and saying that he's not going to, this is good news because we were very concerned about this. It's not going to be the U.S. intervening in all of this. In fact, he is trying to get together, it looks like the Arab nations, to intervene and go after Hamas. We're going to play clip one for you now, because in clip one, this is what he said yesterday about the issue. Take a listen.
Yeah, just following up on that question, when you say we are going to eradicate Hamas, no. Who is we? Does that include American boots on the ground?
No, it won't be on the ground at all. We don't need to, because we have many countries, as you know, signed on to this deal. The way I view it, 59 countries. And unanimous. There's never been, nobody ever believed it was right. Countries that 4 months ago didn't like each other, and now they're all aligned together. I mean, we've had countries calling me when they saw some of the killing with Hamas, saying, we'd love to go in and take care of the situation ourselves. In addition, you have Israel would go in 2 minutes if I asked them to go in. I could tell them, go in and take care of it. But right now, we haven't said that. We're going to give it a little chance, and hopefully there will be a little less violence. But right now, you know, they're violent people. Hamas has been very violent. But they don't have the backing of Iran anymore. They don't have the backing of really anybody anymore. They have to be good. And if they're not good, they'll be eradicated.
That's a strong warning from the president, backed up by this Truth Social post that just went up literally seconds ago. So President Trump being very, very stern when he's in, you know, discussing this peace agreement that he's looking to carry out. And he's also threatening to go after them if they continue to kill Palestinians. President Trump, obviously, one of the very few bold enough to go and press this issue. Now, obviously, as we just told you, Vice President J.D. Vance is on the ground in Israel looking to iron out phase two to make sure that this deal is finalized. We'll continue to follow that as it develops. But I wanted to bring you a story regarding a Chicago area judge. This judge, Judge Jeffrey Cummings, decided to go after ICE agents. Now, he's not happy because ICE agents are apparently going into his courtroom and they're arresting those outside the courthouse for, you know, breaking the law. He doesn't like it. Now, when I look up his background, folks, he is someone who has been an attorney with Barack Obama, of course. And he's somebody who obviously has a lot of blue influence. Pritzker also being someone he has been appointed by in the past. So it makes sense when you talk about it from those angles. Okay, so now he is sitting here and saying that ICE officers are barred from arresting migrants at the courthouse if they don't have a warrant. He also ordered the federal law enforcement agents that they can actually be arrested if they violate his orders. The judge ordered, the order aims at the, kind of like the collective arrests that are taking place. So if they don't have a warrant and you're just someone who's legally residing in this country, normally ICE could intervene and arrest you. So he's trying to block that from happening. That's what this ultimately comes down to. Now, DHS is speaking out about the issue and saying, you know, we aren't some medieval kingdom. There are no legal sanctuaries where you can hide and avoid the consequences for breaking laws. So again, folks, this is DHS coming out swinging and saying enough is enough. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that prohibits them from making these arrests. And so when we sit here and we allow all of this to happen, we allow these rogue judges to continuously go out there and do this, I mean, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. See, these judges are so emboldened to go out there and to threaten to arrest ICE agents. You are a judge. You're not supposed to be partisan. You're supposed to uphold the law. Regardless of if they have an arrest warrant, they are able to stop non-U.S. citizens who are legally residing in the United States. That is their job. Let ICE do their job and you do your damn job. This is the problem with all of these judges. They are really going out there and trying their very best to push back against the Trump administration. But this Trump administration isn't going to deal with this. And Cummings, who is somebody who is obviously an Obama appointee, a friend, an ally, interesting enough with him too, you know, he has no problem going out there and saying this now. But where was he when Barack Obama was leading these deportations? You know, we would love Barack Obama, the old Barack Obama who was leading these deportations, to be the one leading the way now, because he was deporting so many illegal aliens, millions and millions and millions. It's literally a dream of ours to deport all of them. He understood at the time that this was a big issue. And then suddenly everything has shifted, but he was the leader when it came to deportations. So when we sit here and we read these stories and we sit here and watch these U.S. district judges, Judge Cummings, come out here and say, we're going to stop ICE officers from making arrests in the courthouse. That is absolutely absurd. Now, obviously, that's not going to stand, and I do hope that's one of these ICE agents makes that arrest. Because if you're an illegal alien violating the law, they can arrest you. And although these judges don't like it, because they're all liberal hacks, well, too bad. Too bad. The DOJ needs to put out a statement saying that they will defend any of their agents if this does happen. Don't fear these judges. That's the problem here, is they want you to fear them. And we need to make it very, very clear that we do not fear them. Speaking of not fearing anyone, let's turn to this one. Former FBI Director James Comey, not very happy. Not very happy at all. In fact, he is looking to have the 2-count federal indictment tossed because he's arguing that President Trump doesn't like him. He also doesn't like the U.S. attorney, Lindsey Halligan. Doesn't say that she actually was appointed to her position, and so she doesn't have the authority to prosecute him. Interesting how that works, right? Interesting how that works. See, now that it's not something that's politically convenient for him, all of a sudden he doesn't like the fact that she has not been confirmed to her position, and so he's going to utilize that to get this case tossed. And it was interesting, too. Yesterday I was watching CNN as they were detailing this motion, and in it, they were playing all these clips of President Trump going after Comey to explain how partisan he is. In fact, that this is a persecution just because he's trying to get even with Comey. I mean, it's a joke, right? Like, it's obviously a joke if you've been paying attention to the last decade and what's been going on here. Obviously, Comey being a big, big, big player in all of that. But it's interesting to hear him argue that he's not happy with the U.S. attorney and trying to argue that she is not a valid U.S. attorney and she cannot be the one charging him. You think James Comey would be excited that these were the only two federal indictments that he was handed down, the only two federal counts that he was handed down with? Because the reality of it is these were light, light charges, considering what we know about him. Now, when I asked a couple of attorneys, what's your thoughts on this? One did say that he might actually have an argument if this is placed in front of a very liberal judge. Others tell me that they don't see this making it anywhere. So to look the other way on that front. But interesting enough, Comey obviously looking to push back, obviously looking to not face criminal charges, but the reality of it is he needs to. And it's interesting because these are the lighter charges that he should be facing. All right, let's switch up gears a little bit. Let's go back to President Trump because obviously, you know, we spoke about President Trump's Truth Social post that just went up a couple of moments ago, talking about eradicating Hamas and how he's had enough of Hamas going out there and killing Palestinians. And now he's looking to get together the Arab nations to go out there and hold Hamas accountable. Now, he claims they're enthusiastic about doing just that and that they love the idea of going out there and wiping out Hamas. I don't know how truthful that is. I think maybe when they look at what the greater good of all of this means for them, well, has nothing to do with Hamas. It has everything to do with getting into the United States and looking like they want to do business with us. But I want to talk about the business angles for all of this. We are going to talk a lot about tariffs today because I think it's really fascinating. The president renewing a lot of his commitments to impose these tariffs. We'll talk about the movie tariffs that he's threatening on foreign countries that are, you know, obviously producing these films here in the, for the United States. But let's talk China. President Trump says China will face 155% tariff starting November 1st. Now, the president spoke yesterday about this in clip two. Let's take a listen.
I think China's been very respectful of us. They're paying tremendous amounts of money to us as in the form of tariffs. As you know, they're paying 55%. That's a lot of money. They never were paying anything over years and years and years. But they were like anybody else. A lot of countries took advantage of the U.S. They're not taking advantage anymore. No, China's paying 55% and a potential 155% come November 1st unless we make a deal. And I'm meeting with President Xi. We have a very good relationship. We're going to be meeting in South Korea in a couple of weeks. And we'll see what we can do.
President Trump announcing that meeting, of course, that's going to be taking place between him and President Jing in South Korea. Now, obviously, that is a dictator of China, the leader of the CCP. It'd be interesting to hear him grill them on that SIM card farm that was magically popping up. It's a couple of them, a couple locations that have popped up, you know, based on Steve Baker's reporting that this is believed to be Chinese. But they continuously infiltrate here in the United States, and it's about time we get a president who is going to push them on these issues. Now, obviously, China is currently paying a 55% tariff, and if a deal is not met, 155% tariff sounds like a massive, massive, massive issue for China, whether it brings them to the table or not, or makes them frustrated. We'll have to wait back and see. When President Trump was asked to kind of detail all of this, though, in clip three, he details the fact that he has faith in China coming to the table and coming to an agreement. Take a listen.
I think when we finish our meetings in South Korea, China and I will have a really fair and really great trade deal together. I want them to buy soybeans. They stopped buying our soybeans because they thought that was punishment. And it is punishment to our farmers, but we're not going to allow that to happen. Because I made a great trade deal with China, a $50 billion trade deal, and they were great about it. They were doing everything that they were supposed to do. And then when Biden came in, you know, I used to call President Xi all the time to say, thank you, or you're not buying enough. In other words, they were supposed to buy. Biden, do you think Biden ever called him? I don't think Biden ever called him. You think Biden lied awake at night thinking about trade with China? He didn't know what he was doing. who's an incompetent president. We had an incompetent president, but you don't have that anymore. So I think we're going to end up having a fantastic deal with China. It's going to be a great trade deal. It's going to be fantastic for both countries, and it's going to be fantastic for the entire world.
It's a good start. It's a good start. We look forward to covering his meeting in South Korea with the leader of the CCP, of course. It should be interesting. I'm pretty sure, though, he's not going to do anything crazy, like roll out a red carpet and clean up the streets and do what they did when he came to California. Again, folks, it's so frustrating, the power, the authority that the CCP has over Democrats and other politicians, even Republicans in this country, how they've surrendered this beautiful nation to the Chinese Communist Party. These cowards should all be charged with treason. We also have more on Newsom coming up later in the show. Apparently he was drinking himself and hitting the bottle pretty hard during the California wildfires. And no one knows if that was in celebration of the affordable housing that he was creating or if he was just stressed out because his job is just really stressful. And God forbid you sweat out your Botox. All right, let's switch up gears because this one really has a left-wing media infuriated. Construction has just begun at the White House regarding the East Wing with President Trump's new ballroom. They began demolishing the section that they're going to be rebuilding out, and it was quite the sight. Obviously, the mainstream media not very happy with this whatsoever. Apparently, it's going to cost over $200 million for the 90,000-square-foot ballroom, which is being funded by President Trump and private donors. So they can't beat him up on that. They cannot beat him up on that. Now, this is intended to fulfill a 150-year desire for such a space, the President Trump being the one to finally carry that out. And of course, they're just not happy with it. Now, again, a large chunk of that money also comes from his lawsuit settlements, as many of you know. And so companies like Google, well, they're chipping in, unwillingly, but they're chipping in. I believe it was $20 million is coming from Google and going to this ballroom. It is absolutely stunning. And I've had the honor of going to Mar-a-Lago. And if anyone knows how to create a beautiful, beautiful space, it is that man. And so I can only imagine how gorgeous it's going to be. And hopefully you get InfoWars some access when this opens up because, man, oh man, does that look beautiful. We look forward to seeing that. Let's switch it up. Let's debunk a little bit of the fake news because I saw this yesterday. And instantly, I was ticked off, as many of you know. But then I was like, all right, we got to give the White House some time to respond to it because there's a lot of fake news out there. And long and behold, the White House did respond to it. And they said, it's fake. It's fake. Take a look at this. This story about Diddy possibly getting his sentence commuted by the president. Now, this was reported by TMZ yesterday, and it had a lot of people really infuriated. Now, ultimately, what does this mean? Well, he was sentenced to 4 years in prison over allegations of prostitution. He was convicted on that. It was a sex trafficking case / RICO case that kind of fell flat. And so the bare minimum here was the prostitution charges. And so he's been sentenced to about 4 years in prison. And he's begging, he's pleading, he wants out. Now, according to TMZ, they said that President Trump was considering commuting Diddy's sentence. That was according to one White House source. But the White House came out yesterday swinging, hours after the announcement came out, saying there is zero truth to the TMZ report, which we would have gladly explained had they reached out before running their fake news. So all they had to do was reach out, and they would have gotten that statement. See, this is why a lot of people don't reach out for comment. I love reaching out for comments. It also builds a relationship with those on the comms team so you communicate back and forth. So if you have one anonymous source, you definitely don't run it as a story. It's like basic journalism, folks. Basic journalism. Now, again, anonymous sources, I know a lot of us don't like it, but the reality of it is you got to rely on them sometimes. You've got to rely on them sometimes because, I mean, during the Biden regime years, you know, people would come forward to me and give me facts, give me things, give me documents, and I had to say anonymous sources because obviously nobody wants to get fired. Who'd want to go on the record with that? But when you have one anonymous source, no evidence to back it up, you definitely don't publish it as a story. And if you want to, if you're like contemplating, this is really juicy, maybe you reach out to the White House first. Ask for their side of it. More fake news being debunked. Not surprising, though. Not surprising. Again, folks, I can't continue to, like, deal with these fake news outlets. It's basic journalism, and it's really upsetting because TMZ is, like, one of the first to get to, let's say, like, there's a death or something. I mean, they are the first to get it. And I'm always quite impressed with how they're able to do just that. Oh, also, a reminder, Fox Corp recently purchased TMZ, so they are owned by Fox Corp, which, of course, if you don't know, is the Murdoch-owned company. But for folks at home, I mean, they are usually the first when it comes to reporting tragedies. And so it's interesting to see that they just flopped this one completely. And the level of outrage online is rightfully so. I mean, we're continuously trying to advocate for people who don't belong in prison, who are there right now, to get commuted, pardoned, whatever it is the president could do, help them, save them. People like Brett Hankinson. By the way, Brett Hankinson, we told you about his story here on this show just about a week and a half ago, was forced to go to prison. He's the officer who was there. He was present during the Breonna Taylor shooting, didn't shoot Taylor. But when he saw that his friend, Sergeant John Mattingly, was shot by Taylor's boyfriend, guess what happened? He opened fire and shot back. Now, yes, it was a dark room, but the reality is that he knew where the bullets were coming, and he had to defend both himself, obviously, and his colleagues, because he just saw one of his friends get shot in the leg. So, of course, one would understand that when you're in a high-pressure situation like that, you can't just sit there and think and contemplate what should you do. You must react on the fly. The Biden DOJ, though, went about filing civil rights charges against this man. A judge sentencing him to 3 years in prison. Even though the DOJ under the Trump administration came out and said, we don't want prison time for him. He's already lost a job. Leave him alone. Judge saying, no, we must give him prison time. Sentence him to prison time. And unfortunately, we'll not let him be on the outside while awaiting his appeal. So now he's sitting in federal custody, awaiting for the president of DOJ to save him. Now think about what life must be like for a police officer involved in a racially motivated, heavily politicized PR hit job against the police department. Obviously, Brett's life is in danger and they are trying to put him in general population, which only means that they are going to try to kill him. I mean, there's no other way to look at that. So when we talk about commuting people's sentences, pardons, we need to remember there are innocent people right now who we could help if we truly put our minds to it, if we really actually wanted to help those in prison. It's also important to note that the Bureau of Prisons is actually ran by the DOJ. So it's the DOJ and then the Bureau of Prisons. So for people like Brett Hankinson, you could probably help him out, make sure he doesn't go to Gen Pop so he's not shanked. Now, I've reached out to the DOJ for assistance on that. No word they do intend on issuing that pardon. It's not just him, of course. It's also those who were set up by the FBI to cook up the fake Governor Whitmer kidnapping plot. Two of them are sitting in federal prison right now. I have been advocating for them to get out. Unfortunately, Whitmer responded to one of my interviews that I did by saying that she doesn't want him or both of these guys to be released. And said that she spoke with President Trump, and President Trump said that, all right, if you don't want them released, then we won't do it. There's a lot of great people who are sitting behind bars right now who need our help. All right, folks, we got more to talk about when we come back from break. So do not go anywhere. In the meantime, though, make sure you download the app, alexjonesapp.com, right now to stay in touch with us. Just in case you just lock the front door, you know, we're going to open up our next operation. So make sure you stay in touch, alexjonesapp.com. We'll be right back.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Steam Off was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Steam Off because it's a thyroid issue, and the Steam Off has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's
like,
amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, now you have a three-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We appreciate you being here, of course. I wanted to bring you a bit of breaking news. I just got an email from DHS, and it's not really breaking news if you've been paying attention to my coverage. You've known about this for quite some time right now, but I just posted this on X, and it has to do with both DHS and FEMA under the Biden regime. Now, Joe Biden obviously wasn't really running the show, but the people behind him, the deep state operatives, the communists, these people hated you at home, and you know this, but now we have more confirmation of just that. There was an internal probe into DHS and FEMA, and according to DHS, it revealed that the Biden regime and its FEMA staff consistently avoided visiting disaster homes for survivors of natural disasters, displaying signs or flags that oppose, get this, and were supporting President Donald Trump. Again, folks, it shows and it highlights the clear political bias against Americans in need. Additionally, FEMA workers gathered data on survivors' political views and used it to delay essential aid, violating the Privacy Act of 1974. Folks, I have been screaming about this. I was told it was fake news. In fact, the governor of North Carolina literally wrote, and FEMA put on their website, that my reporting was wrong. That I, in fact, they fact-checked me. They tried to fact-check me. and said that I was fake news, that what I was reporting was rumors. It was not rumors. I was talking to people on the ground who were dealing with it, people who witnessed it firsthand, people who were literally there to help these everyone who's a victim of the floods in North Carolina. They were literally sitting on the sides trying to help, but the governor of North Carolina wouldn't allow them in. Now, we were told, again, that was fake news. But it's not fake news. And again, it justifies everything that I've been telling you about, that the Trump administration needs to go after these people because, again, folks, they had no problem withholding aid from those in need. So that announcement coming out just moments ago, I just received the email from DHS announcing that the internal probe by DHS, by FEMA, reveals that the Biden regime under, obviously, Biden regime under its FEMA employees was going out there and was discriminating against survivors based on the fact if you were a Trump supporter. I told you that was the reason why they were neglecting to go out there and help certain people in North Carolina. I told you it was the heavy red districts that were neglected the most. This should bring so much outrage forward, but sadly, I think so many people are going to look the other way on this. Imagine sitting there and everything you love being swept away and you're praying that someone comes and helps you as you're sitting on your rooftop with your loved ones. But then the Biden regime just goes, eh. North Carolina goes, eh. We don't really want to save you because you're a Trump supporter. And I told you it was my personal beliefs that North Carolina was intentionally trying to make a disaster even worse. Because they wanted to push more mail-in ballots. And so that's exactly what happened. And again, we just keep seeing more and more evidence of this. And I'm trying to pull up the article because there was so much on this. I was told I was one of the crazies. I was crazy for suggesting that the North Carolina governor would sit there and do this to people. That's what they told me. So again, it's not surprising that this was going on in the first place, that we abandoned Americans. We allowed them to sit there, die, lose everything. We didn't even provide them with aid. Now, obviously, folks, the Trump administration has its work cut out for them. And they're trying their very best to pull this together and try to fix and correct these issues. But people need to go to prison for this. We cannot sit here and continue to allow this to happen. We cannot sit here and allow people like Governor Roy Cooper. Again, he was the main person behind all of this. He refused to allow federal resources in while the Biden regime, when they finally were able to get in, didn't want to serve those who may or may have not been Trump supporters. President Trump knew this, too. He was also sounding off online about it. President Trump saying, this was back in 2024, he posted. It has come out that Democrats in Washington and Democrat governor's office in North Carolina, Roy Cooper, were blocking people and money from coming into North Carolina to help people in desperate need. Biden knew about it, and so did Kamala. It's all over the place. It's a horrible situation. So what are we going to do about this? Again, this is insane. I mean, I remember when they were trying to debunk me, and we're going to pull up these tweets. I'm forwarding this to you guys over in the control room right now. This was back when all this was going down. They tried there, and we're pulling it up in real time. And I was telling you exactly what was happening. It was the theft, the attempted theft of the upcoming election. So what they had to do is they had to make a situation that was already really bad even worse. Even worse. And at the expense, of course, of Trump supporters. And you might have not even been a Trump supporter. Maybe your neighborhood just has a lot of Trump supporters. No aid for you, though. So many of our service members were infuriated, reaching out to me, infuriated that they wanted to just go out there and help, but they were not allowed to help because they were being told they were not allowed to fly into the area. So they were on the outskirts of the area looking to go in, spending days in a hotel room. And wondering, when are we going to be able to go in there and help these people? It was, I think, well over a week before they actually were allowed to go in there. And then they also had a no-fly zone for a couple of hours because they needed all the political creatures to fly in from Washington, D.C., and obviously those Democrats in North Carolina to fly in for their photo op. So, yeah, it's infuriating. And we told you all about it. There were brave members of our military, brave service members, brave people who stepped up to the plate and were flagging this for me from the very beginning. Those are the kind of people you want to help out. These are the kind of people you want to be in charge of all of this. It was an absolute disgrace. Thanks for pulling this up, guys, because it was an absolute disgrace. And we cannot forget what they did. They abandoned Americans just because they didn't like your political views. Just because they didn't like your political views. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. It is BOGO on some of your favorite items, including Colstrum. Sorry, folks. I'll get it together eventually. It's very early in the morning for me. When you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and you support us by making a purchase, you're helping us prepare for our next operation. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com today. And support us as we continue to battle out this information war, folks. Because this information they don't want coming out. And guess what? We're doing our best to keep pushing it out there. I cannot believe that this email just came in right now from DHS. It is so infuriating. It is so infuriating because I was told by the North Carolina governor that I was fake news. I feel like I should sue for defamation. Although they probably have immunity. They're scummy politicians. But again, it just highlights the fact that this is what was going on in our country. And so many people look the other way on this. That was a massive story. And sadly, the mainstream media refused to tell you about it. And everyone else just went on like everything was A-okay. Steve Baker was actually one of the very few who went down to the region and was there for weeks. And we had him on my podcast a couple of times just detailing everything. And again, he was echoing the same exact thing I was just telling you about. The same exact thing. All right, the government shutdown is still ongoing. And we're getting breaking news. This is why I'm like so glued to my laptop right now, because everything's coming in right now. I'm getting a lot of reports that I want to bring to you. Number one, Rasmussen Reports just released a new poll. And in it, it says that 51% of U.S. voters approve of continuing this shutdown. 51%, that's massive. That's massive. Now, I just got these numbers in from Rasmussen directly. They're saying that this includes 31% who strongly approve, 41% who strongly disapprove, including 29% who strongly disapprove. 66% of Democratic voters approve of continuing the shutdown as well. That's a massive number. That is a massive number, a massive figure. I'm getting so much breaking news in right now. We're keeping you in the loop on all of this, but this is a massive poll. I think it highlights the fact that, yeah, although those in D.C. pretend like these shutdowns are really getting Americans upset, I don't think Americans are upset as they think they are. So again, 66% of Democratic voters approve of continuing the shutdown. 53% of Republicans as well disapprove of letting the shutdown continue. So that latest poll literally just dropping right now, hot off the pressers. Of Rasmussen Reports. Mark Mitchell also just messaging us. He'll probably join us on the show tomorrow to break that down for us because he's not able to make it today. But again, I mean, this just highlights what we all know. What we all know. This is why Democrats are okay with holding out. In clip four, Speaker Johnson says Dems are being very selfish in regards to this government shutdown. Let's take a listen.
And it's also important for us to note, this is the first time in history that any party has had the audacity to shut down the government over a totally clean, nonpartisan continuing resolution. This is a political stunt, and it's the first time it's been done, and it is the most costly, most selfish, most dangerous political stunt in the history of the United States Congress, because as we have stood here day after day after day explaining all the Americans who are being harmed by this nonsense, and the Senate Democrats have zero shame about this. They don't have any shame at all about the pain that they're inflicting upon hardworking families, upon soldiers and law enforcement officers and veterans and the elderly and the disabled and women, infants, and children. Services to all those categories and paychecks to those folks are being stalled because Democrats are playing games.
Now, obviously, Democrats are playing games because their new voter base are the illegal aliens they're trying to put onto our health care system. They want the rest of you to pay for illegals. And finally, Republicans are holding the line. This is what it actually looks like when they're holding the line on an issue. It's strange to see, isn't it? I mean, listen, the government shutdown could continue on at this point. I'm okay with that. I just feel horrible for our ICE agents, the ones going out there and actually making these arrests. I, again, yesterday posted the worst of the worst. I get these emails all the time from DHS highlighting the predators at the arrest. And again, more sexual predators, more individuals who are targeting children, who they have just recently arrested over the last few days, and they're looking to kick out of the country. Those are people who aren't getting a paycheck right now. And obviously for Democrats, since they're aligned these days with the pedophiles, they're all on board for this. They're all on board for not continuing to pay ICE agents because they weren't happy, for sure, when they heard that over 100,000 applications to become ICE agents was pouring in. And so that's what you see unraveling today. Sean Duffy, who is the Secretary of the Department of Transportation, is sounding off in regards to the airlines and all the issues you're having right now at the airport. So apparently, obviously, because the government shut down, that's creating quite the backup, especially because yesterday there was issues with the internet. But on top of that, the government shutdown doesn't help either. And so in clip five, he details what some of the ongoing issues are. Take a listen.
Thank you to all our air traffic controllers who do show up for work. We've had a few blips, Joe, in the system. Where, you know, in one region, one day, another region, another day, we'll have some delays because air traffic controllers, are out. There's been, some more sick leave than we'd seen in the past. But I'm telling you what, looking forward, the next check that comes for air traffic controllers are a week from tomorrow. And I think we could see more disruptions when that happens. A lot of them have made the point they have to find other ways to feed their families, whether they're going to drive Uber or they're going to find other some short-term employment, we could see some more disruption. I don't want to see that. I think that would be difficult for the traveling public. But, you know, this is the consequence of a long-term shutdown. We're 20 days in. Republicans have said, let's do a clean CR. Democrats have said, you know what, we want to negotiate on health care, specifically health care for illegals. And Republicans don't really have any room to negotiate because they've done what's clean. What they had in September, Republicans want to have in October. And so there's not room to negotiate. Really, Democrats have to come to the table, stop holding the economy hostage.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not going to happen. In dream world, it would. You know, it's interesting because I did speak with, obviously, Speaker Mike Johnson, who told me that Democrats were holding out for the No Kings rally. Now that has come and it has passed, and still no talks about reopening the government. Let's talk about, since we're on the topic of airports too, let's talk about what happened yesterday, because I think it's really important that we do just that. There was a man who apparently is struggling with mental health issues who made his way to the Atlanta airport. Police were able to intervene when he showed up to the airport, apparently armed. That's according to reports. Now, the incident obviously being seriously alarming. The man, his name is Billy Joe Cagle. He's 49 years old. He apparently has been charged with making terroristic threats, possession of a firearm during a felony, attempted aggravated assault, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Well, apparently, and thankfully, his family actually saw that he was live streaming and heading to the airport, and they realized there was a big issue here, and so they flagged it for police. Now, that's something that rarely happens. And they were brave enough to flag it for police. So Atlanta police issued a be on the lookout order. And then at 9:45 or 9:54, I should say, in the southern terminal, they did spot him. And he was actually near the crowded TSA checkpoint. According to them, he had an AR-15 with 27 rounds. And they were able to stop all of that. Now, again, it's interesting to see lay out, because a lot of the times, you know, families are too fearful to come forward and report their loved one when they think that they're suffering from a mental health issue. And so this could have been a very, very serious issue. But thankfully, police and their family was able to sweep in and to avert what could have potentially been a disaster over in Atlanta yesterday. And so I think it's good to celebrate that, to celebrate good police work and hope that this individual gets the help that he desperately needs. If this report is true. But again, great police work and good on the family for going out there and telling us what was actually happening before it happened. All right, let's switch things up a little bit. Let's pull it back to the Biden regime. I hate talking about them. I just kind of want to move on and pretend like it didn't happen, but it happened. We got to talk about it. Karine Jean-Pierre, also known as KJP, she was the DEI hire who was operating as the press secretary, you know, your first black, lesbian, female, whatever it is, secretary. Well, obviously, very low IQ. She didn't earn her position. She was given it because you can't have enough check marks. I mean, that's just the reality of it. The Biden administration didn't really care for qualifications. It was more of just what your identity is. And your sex life was actually a top priority for the Biden regime. They wanted to know all about it in order to provide you with the promotion. So that's why when you're a black lesbian, you get the front, you get the podium. Obviously not that intelligent, though. Or maybe she is, and she's just playing everyone else or trying to play everyone else, but no one's really falling for it. But KJP says she no longer aligns with Democrats because of how they treated Joe Biden. Because they stole the primary for him. They stole the election for him. But they didn't want to do it again. And so KJP is really upset because she wasn't happy with what they did to Joe Biden. She wasn't happy at all. She says that she was on a phone call in which Joe Biden told the White House team that he was dropping out of the race. After that poor debate performance, like she really thought he was going to stick in the race because she was hopeful they'd steal it from him again. And then she'd be able to keep the podium for a couple of more years. She said, I was angry. I was sad. I was enraged and heartbroken that this man had given more than 50 years of his life to serve the American people. And it ended. He'd been treated poorly by members of his own party. It was horrible, she wrote. Was it really horrible? The guy never belonged in the White House in the first place. In fact, we all know he wasn't doing anything behind the scenes. It was the Otto Penn scandal. The Otto Penn presidency, not actually him running the show. Now, again, she's selling you a memoir, so she's going to say the most salacious things, of course. So bear with me on this one. Now, she repeatedly, and to this day, because she wants to sound credible, she says that she didn't see anything happening. In fact, she didn't know Joe Biden was suffering from any type of mental decline at all. Take a listen to clip 6, because she still to this day is denying that he had any issues at all. Take a listen.
He was saying, because I too thought that, and you said, people said, why didn't members of his inner circle speak up about what many believe was the apparent decline of Joe Biden? You said you're a member of the inner circle and you never saw the decline. And after that, I wrote, how? Yep. You even write, Karine, that you were on the plane with him going to the debate and you didn't see anything.
Well, when
so
we were
hard
when we were
on understand.
Air Force One going on the going to the debate, you got to remember that his campaign people were on the team. His family was on the team. I actually was one of those rare trips that I didn't really see him until after the debate, even though I was on the plane. So really, I want everybody to know that I take this question incredibly seriously. I do. I was his White House press secretary, which means I had a role that saw him practically every day and traveled with him.
And you saw nothing
for more than 95%. We've always said, we're not going to say, oh, he didn't age. He aged. And
right.
He poked fun at it. We always owned up. And with age comes what happens when you get older.
Which is?
But when we talk about the mental acuity, and again, I take this very, very seriously.
Yeah.
I never saw anyone who wasn't there. I saw someone who was always engaged. I saw someone who understood policy, pushed us on the policy, and also understood history. And there were times, I'll tell you the story, there were times where he would call me into the Oval Office and I would be like, oh no, because I knew whatever he was going to ask me was going to be direct, was going to be about a story he read, about how we're pushing back, how we're pushing a message forward.
And you-
It gets even worse. Clip 7 we're going to play for you. She goes on to say that Joe Biden, okay, get this. I'm going to say it with a straight face, that Joe Biden made himself available for the media and, in fact, was doing and taking more questions from the media than President Trump. Take a listen.
We did have legislative wins.
Sure, and he didn't talk about him that well, though. He wasn't campaigning. First of all,
he did talk about them. Whether it broke through or not, he did. Tim, he did talk about.
He talked way less to the press than Donald Trump does. Way less. And he wasn't out there at all. He wasn't good off the cuff. He wasn't doing press conferences. Let's just be real. He didn't do the paid events.
That's not true. Tim, you're conflating all of it. First you're telling me he didn't talk well about it. Then you're telling me he didn't talk at all.
He didn't talk very often. And when he did, it wasn't very good. Yeah, he sounded very old.
Maybe you weren't paying attention to what we were doing at the White House.
But I paid attention. I'm with you on the policies. I'm talking about his performance.
The president spoke to the American people a couple times a week. He traveled and did domestic travel and talked directly to the American people. We are talking about a time politically that is incredibly partisan. It is hard. It's hard to break through or any messaging.
They literally own the media. I mean, they were literally paying off media outlets. HHS was pouring out millions of our money to media outlets all across the country. So you want to tell me that the Biden regime had a struggle with controlling the narrative? I mean, they literally silenced anyone. They went after the social media companies and forced them to silence their opposition. They threw hundreds of opposing views of, I guess, their liberal views in prison, if you want to say that. I mean, shut up. Shut up. You are so full of it. And it's laughable if it wasn't so serious. They control the media. They still control the media to this day. They literally had their own police force, which is obviously the FBI. They used the DOJ to go after their enemies. And then they controlled the media. And you're saying that he struggled to get his message out there because the media was so partisan? What do you think? We're all idiots? Well, thankfully, we're not. And for those of you who are watching InfoWars every day, well, we didn't lie to you. All right, folks, there's more underway, so do not go anywhere. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. So many of your favorite items are on sale right now. And you're going to head over there and support us because when you do, it keeps us up on the air, obviously, and it helps fund our very next operation. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and indulge on the current BOGO sales we have going on. We'll be right back.
Feel the unstoppable power of Alex Jones, fueled by Ultimate Creatine Powder. This is the secret weapon behind his relentless energy. Creatine monohydrate ignites his muscles, blasting through lefts and sprints with raw warrior strength, building the physique of a true patriot. With micronized mixability, Alex dominates every day, recovering like a titan to crush fatigue and soar to new heights of performance. His mind becomes a fortress, sharper focus, unbreakable memory, powered by creatine to outlast any mental battle. This nootropic powerhouse defends against fatigue, keeping Alex Jones razor sharp for the fight. Join him and unleash your inner strength. Grab Ultimate Creatine Powder now at thealexjonesstore.com. Fuel your fight and rise with Alex Jones today.
That's pure gold. I'd have in between, like, maybe the creatine zooming in a little. It's coming towards you. But also, it's just 30 seconds left. You'd have me go, baka chaka woom bak, quack, quack, kong, whatever. You know, that little, ooga chaka munga bak, woom kong kong. That'd be really good.
American Journal. We're getting ready to kick off the second hour of the program, and I'm excited that you're all with us today. I feel like today is like the I Was Right tour, I Told You tour. We have a lot of stories that we've been covering where, you know, I told you the truth way back when it was unpopular to say the truth. I know, you know, Alex Jones has, Harrison Smith has. And so we're just taking this victory lap. That's what it felt like in the first hour of the program today. But we're excited that you're all with us today. A lot going on around the world. I'm keeping up to date with everything that's dropping. So much breaking right now. Again, we're keeping you in the loop. And we got a lot to talk about. We got a lot to talk about in regards to tariffs as well. Matt Marston going to be joining the show later to explain to us, number one, why is President Trump threatening to impose 100% tariffs on foreign filmed movies? That's a big one because I think many of us are just like, what does that mean? He's going to break it down for us, though, because obviously he is a former Hollywood actor. They kind of gave him the boot because he was conservative and they don't like that. And so I hate saying the word former because I'm sure he would love a job if it wasn't, they weren't pushing the LGBT propaganda down your throats and, whatever else nonsense that they have. But he's going to be joining us to break it down because it's not just these movies, these films being filmed in other countries. It has become such a horrific climate to film movies here in the United States, especially in LA. And he's going to break down what that actually means and how it's all related to DEI. As somebody who obviously was front and center for a lot of this, I cannot wait to hear from him. He's been telling me, we were on the phone last night talking about this. He's so passionate about it, so he'll be great. We'll have him joining us in the third hour of the program. We're also going to be talking about a bunch of stories that you probably didn't hear about. Another story, obviously, in Dublin. It's a devastating story. It has to do with a 10-year-old girl who was allegedly sexually assaulted by an Afghan migrant. Now, according to reports, that Afghan was not fluent in the native language, of course, and he is speaking Arabic through the courts and through an interpreter. Those are according to reports, but there's protests breaking out all across Dublin right now. It's not just that, too. Also, girls in the UK are really, really upset. We've got this really just sad soundbite that we're going to play for you about how this one child is openly saying that she just doesn't feel safe walking around her community anymore because of the migrant shelter that's nearby. And to hear a child who is only, I believe, she's like 10 years old, who's very young, going out there and saying that, it's very impactful and something that you need to hear. Also, the state of Florida is pushing back against states like California and Washington for providing non-U.S. citizens with CDL licenses. Now, of course, we tell you about that all the time in the show. We've been breaking that down for you yesterday. I told you all about it. But now there's a new effort from the AG to go after these people. Plus, the Supreme Court is also weighing in on a Second Amendment case. It's related to those who smoke marijuana. Should you have access to a firearm? Well, that's the case that the Supreme Court has now decided to take up. I'll bring you the latest on that. And James O'Keefe apparently could just throw on a wig and no one knows who he is. I don't understand how this is possible. You know, if you go to Washington, D.C. to talk to people who work in government and the lobbyists, they all know who James O'Keefe is because they warn you to stay away from the guy. So James has decided that he's going to go in disguise. And he now slaps a wig on his head. And apparently he's new. He's someone different. I mean, imagine seeing that man come up to you and thinking that that's not James O'Keefe. It's like a cheap $20 Halloween store wig. Like, in what world? Well, James is able to just kind of trick this one woman who obviously isn't very bright. And she spills the beans on how your money is being used to their advantage and how they're ripping off the system. And it was quite the insightful report that he just recently dropped. And has everything to do with those incentive programs for minority business owners. So we'll talk about that too later in the show. And also there's a lot going on in Portland as well. We'll talk about that. And also I forgot to mention Roblox. Roblox, talk about it on the show all the time, how pedophiles are utilizing Roblox to go after and prey upon children. Well, finally, Florida, they have a brave AG. He's going out there and he's pushing back. I'm going to give you the latest on that as well. So do not go anywhere. We have more to unpack in just a few moments as we kick off the second hour of the show.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right. You heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down. And now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way. So if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Kicking off the second hour of the program with you all today. We're excited that you're here. Very excited that you're here. Okay, you may have seen the story. It's overseas, so I don't think it's getting enough coverage here in the States. But again, we need to pay attention to it. In Dublin, there was a 10-year-old girl who was allegedly raped by a migrant, someone who was not supposed to be in the country in the first place. Apparently, he comes from Africa. We don't know specifically where. And when he made his way into a courtroom, he needed an Arabic interpreter. That's according to several reports, including Tommy Robinson. Well, obviously, that is causing a lot of infuriated individuals in Dublin because they've had enough of this invasion. They want out. They want all of this to be done. Over with, finito. People are pouring into the streets and they're protesting this, and rightfully so, because the fact that we have sacrificed young children to these monsters is infuriating in itself. But it's not just that. You know, when you go around the country here in the United States, we're just starting to realize what's gone on over there in the UK. And sadly, you know, so many of us have been trying to sound the alarm on this, but it's not resonating. I was actually surprised, though. I did see, thanks to the New York City mayor, mayoral race, I should say, a lot of conservatives who are afraid to come out and talk against Islam, they're finally coming out. Megyn Kelly, actually, I just saw that she was talking about that specifically in New York City, which is good. So we've been waiting for people to come out and talk about this. So many fear being called names for advocating against the invasion. But in the UK, young girls sadly understand what the issue is here, and they are afraid to go out into their streets. And one courageous young woman, probably not a couple of days over 10 years old, if I had to guess. Well, she's speaking to the local media, and this isn't going to go over well for her, because they'll probably haunt her with this video 20 years from now when they tried to throw her in prison for speaking up on her own behalf. But she spoke out about how she is afraid to walk past the migrant shelters that are in her community now. And she's sounding off about this issue. So we're going to play clip 10 for you of this young woman speaking about how unsafe she feels walking around her own community. Take a listen.
Why are you here today?
I'm here to protect the kids and how I have the streets safer for when I have kids. Because I'm scared anything's going to happen to me. Because being a white girl is really scary at this time. Loads of people call me racist for going to these, but I just want to be able to feel safe in my own community, and I just want to be able to walk the streets like my dad and my mum used to without a worry.
Not going to school at the moment. What's happening there?
People are calling me racist at school for going to the marches, and they're calling me far right. But the thing is, I'm not far right. I respect everyone's cultures, their religion, where they come from, and their background. I just want to be able to feel safe.
I'm so proud of that young lady. That is incredible to come out and be fearless. The name calling, knowing what's happening in your community, knowing that you are a target to these illegals who have infiltrated your country. And the fact that she can't even go to school now because they're calling her names tells you all you need to know about where we are as a society. She understands it. How can a little girl like her get the threats, and yet these politicians don't seem to see it? Instead, they call you names if you don't want military-age men infiltrating your community and going after your women and girls. She's brave enough to speak out and speak up and show up to these protests. Where the heck are all the men in her country? No, you're not a Zionist. You're not Islamophobic if you speak out. You don't want to be sexually assaulted while walking down the street in your own community. For those of you out there who criticize both me and girls like her for speaking out, You're a scumbag. You're an absolute scumbag. See, we are paying attention. We understand what the issues are here. We've watched these statistics skyrocket since they've started popping up these asylum hotels everywhere, all across Europe and here in the United States. And while the government wants to suppress critical pieces of information so you don't know who is actually out there sexually abusing these children, the rest of us know what's going on. That little girl has so much courage, more than the men in her country, to speak up about these issues. Did you hear her say it? She literally told you that she's afraid of walking down the streets, and that in fact she wants to make a safer community for her future children. Who even thinks that far ahead when you are a child? The crisis going on right now in the UK and throughout Europe has forced young girls to grow up quickly if they don't want to become sexual assault victims. It's infuriating to see. And again, those pouring to the streets and doubling as well. I am very thankful for all of their outreach, for the fact that they are going out there and they are trying their very best to speak out on these issues. You know, when you look at all the political prisoners right now in the UK, they are arresting people for speaking up online. I, in fact, probably can't even go to the UK because I'm pretty sure as soon as I got off the plane, they dragged me off to prison. For what crime? Well, speaking up, making sure that children aren't sexually assaulted in their country. It's crazy because when we cover these stories of people who live in countries like this and they see that, you know, I'm covering and speaking out and helping them out and echo their messaging, they reach out privately and thank us because they can't do it without fear of going to prison. And that's where we are right now in the UK. And when President Trump even confronts Keir Starmer about this, he denies it completely. You know, I sat back and watched as the protests were going on. This was, I believe, last year when Sally, those young girls were stabbed to death while enjoying a Taylor Swift dance party. And the migrant men, the men who are not native to the UK, had no problem walking around with weapons. And how quickly the mainstream media turned their cameras so you didn't see that they were walking around these peaceful protests with machetes, with knives. Man, if you don't speak up, if you give up your guns, that's your future. So call that young woman a name if you'd like to, if that makes you feel better about yourself. But it won't stop her messaging, and she's a brave, brave young woman for doing just that. All right, let's switch that up a little bit, because the Florida AG, he's doing two really critical things right now for the Sunshine State. Let's cover the first one. The first one is he's going after states like California and Washington for allowing illegal aliens to obtain commercial driver's licenses. Now, obviously, that puts you and I at risk. In the state of Florida, sadly, they learned the hard way when an illegal decided when he was, you know, operating a semi-truck to make a U-turn, not caring about the people who were behind him, which resulted in three innocent people being killed. Actually, those three being immigrants themselves. Well, now the Florida AG is suing California and Washington. I'd love to see him go after New York next, too, because New York, like we've reported, is giving illegals driver's licenses with literally no name. You need to submit all of your information, your biometrics, everything. You must have a real ID, but these illegal invaders, they don't need that much. New York will cough up anything. And again, it's not just that going on right now in Florida. You got to give the AG some credit here. Because the Florida AG, well, he's also pushing back in regards to Roblox. We're going to play clip 15 for you, because in clip 15, he announced that he's going after Roblox, which, as many of you know, if you've seen Alex Rosen on our show, that is the app that is widely used by predators to target innocent children. Well, he's going after Roblox with criminal subpoenas. Take a listen.
This is Attorney General James Uthmeyer. Today, our office will be issuing criminal subpoenas to the online children's gaming company, Roblox. Roblox profited off of our kids while exposing them to the most dangerous of harms. They enabled our kids to be abused. Companies like Roblox have become breeding grounds for predators to get to and have access to our kids. These criminal subpoenas will enable us to gather more information for our prosecutors about the criminal activity taking place on Roblox platform, as well as evidence on the predators that are out there and the victims that are abused. At the end of the day, we will stop at nothing to fight to protect our kids. And companies that act carelessly and expose them to harm will be held accountable.
It's good news to hear. Finally, we have an AG standing up and trying to go after these people. You know, Ken Paxton has been on the ball, though. He was one of the first to go after Roblox and other services that are being utilized by these predators. And it's great. It is absolutely great. We need to go make this a top priority. I don't understand why Democrats, and I say this with a lighter tone, of course, why Democrats are too afraid to go out there and actually do this as well. You see, Democrats shy away from holding those accountable and doing what you just heard there because I guess they just side with pedophiles. I mean, they don't go after these pedos. Time and time again, you know, Alex Rosen and all these other individuals who are going out there and catching predators, they're utilizing Roblox, the platform, because that's where they are. That's where they're targeting children. Folks, if you have kids, you got to keep them off of Roblox. You got to keep them off all these services because this is being utilized and there's very little oversight. And it's crazy. It always starts off super innocent and kids don't realize what's happening. We also don't do enough to educate children on the dangers of these types of platforms. So many parents probably just say, don't use it. There's some bad people on there. And then the kids just think, ah, I have an uncool parent. But the harsh reality of it is they need to explain what's going on here. There are individuals who are demons, who are monsters, who want to target your children. And they're utilizing these platforms to do just that. They come off innocent, benign. But then they go after your children. It's absolutely devastating this is going on, and very few people are willing to talk about it. Very few little people are willing to talk about it. I just don't understand. It's discouraging that this has become such a political issue. Because, again, it shouldn't be. There was once a time when the Democratic Party was actually full of sane people. Maybe not full, but semi-sane. And they understood that going after predators was and should be a top priority, but sadly things have changed and completely shifted in this country, and it's really discouraging to see. Let's turn to the Supreme Court because, you know, we ripped them a new one last week in regards to their failure to take up the challenge of Alex Jones's appeal. Well, they decided to take up another case. And it's Second Amendment, so I won't complain too much on this. The Supreme Court announced that it will review whether those who are regularly using marijuana can legally possess a firearm. Now, again, this is going to be a gun-related case following its 2022 ruling that expanded gun rights. This is according to the mainstream media, of course. The Trump administration urged the court to reinstate a case against the Texas man charged with a felony for allegedly owning a firearm while admitting to using marijuana regularly. The DOJ appealed after a lower court overturned a law prohibiting individuals using illegal drugs from possessing firearms. Now, interesting, the mainstream media is actually comparing this now to Hunter Biden's case, although Hunter Biden was not using just marijuana, and there's tons of evidence of it. I got a good laugh in when I was, like, watching the reporting on this. Like, this is about Hunter Biden's case that he was pardoned on, but pleaded guilty to. I don't think this has anything to do with Hunter Biden's case. Homeboy was smoking crack. He wasn't smoking marijuana. We literally have photos of the crack pipes. So it's two separate things, right? Those who smoke marijuana regularly, I don't know. I mean, I call myself a Second Amendment absolutist, so I don't know where to fall on that one. We could probably talk about that later when we take calls, but I mean, I mostly think that, I don't know how to feel about that. I mean, it's marijuana, so I don't think that should stop you from being able to possess a firearm. Harder drugs, maybe. Maybe you can convince me. But again, I continue to say that I'm a Second Amendment absolutist, so I don't know if I should take a side on that. It'll be interesting to see what the Supreme Court says and how this develops. But man, I really wish they took up that appeal for Alex. Just seems like the Supreme Court doesn't really care about free speech, doesn't really care about rogue courts, doesn't want to wrangle them in, and will allow them to continue to target the American people. All right, let's get to that James O'Keefe story, because this one's fascinating. So James O'Keefe in clip 11
somehow, some way is able to fool people. We saw him put on a mustache, right? Puts on a mustache, slaps it on his face, and all of a sudden everyone thinks he's a different man. I don't know how. I'd say James O'Keefe is pretty recognizable. But now he's slapping on a wig, and apparently black women, when you put on a wig, they can't recognize the difference. And so he puts on this cheap Halloween wig, goes out sipping some alcohol with some woman. She spills the beans about the scam she's got going on. Allegedly, you'd say. Take a listen to clip 11.
So ATI would do 20%, and their subcontractor would do like 80%.
80% of the work.
Wow.
And I don't know if you share that they do all the work.
No, yeah.
So we do about 20% of the work.
20%. Right?
These government contractors like ATI taking advantage of their special minority-owned status.
And I tell you, pass-throughs are a great thing as well. So a lot of our subcontractors bid on contracts that were perfect in their industry, but because they weren't Native American, they wouldn't win it. So we bid on it for them. They became our sub. And it's an automatic win because of your Native American status.
Isn't that exciting?
Right? So
a lot of people don't know that.
I don't think anybody knows that.
Right? And
you want to keep it that way.
That's right. Yes. That's right.
You want to
exactly.
keep it a secret.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Taking the money in, subcontracting much of the work out.
I sit back, collect my percentage, and they do the work.
Correct.
Yeah, they're doing most of the work.
Get the contracts, get the money, act as a pass-through, and it's the taxpayer who gets screwed over.
Is there some rules or something that you were telling me about, like that you have to report 51%?
51% on paper. Correct.
Right.
As long as it's on paper.
As long as it's on paper.
51%. We're good to go.
And remember, there's no competition because you're Native American.
Ding, ding.
That's the best kept secret.
It is indeed.
It is. Yeah,
it is.
Go ahead. Here's to pass-throughs.
There you go.
How about that? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. In vino veritas.
My name is James O'Keefe.
Turn that off.
Party like a Jim Keefe party.
What you're about to see is a microcosm of one of the biggest scams in American history. A scheme that could be costing taxpayers up to $100 billion every year. It's a system long described as an open secret in Washington, one that dwarfs the U.S. AID fraud scandals in both scale and scope. At its center lies a government program created to empower minority-owned small businesses. But behind the facade, our investigation uncovers a network of so-called 8A pass-through schemes, shell companies exploiting those very programs for profit. According to the SBA, the Biden-Harris administration awarded more than $630 billion in federal contracts to these companies, with over $183 billion in 2024 alone. Our undercover investigation reveals how these firms secured no-bid federal contracts.
No bidding because of your Native status.
Skim over half of the money off the top.
65% of the money.
And subcontract nearly all the work.
So we do about 20% of the work.
Defrauding taxpayers like you and betraying the very communities these programs were meant to uplift.
Aw, man. I don't understand how James O'Keefe can throw on a $20 wig and save the American taxpayers millions and millions of dollars by exposing the fraud. It's quite the impressive skill set, and we have to say James O'Keefe is able to do it again. You have to wonder, right? It's such a high-risk thing to throw out all these discreet-ish things by saying, you know, nothing like a Jim or James O'Keefe party, and doesn't ring any bell, doesn't resonate with this woman that she's being fooled by a cheap wig. How do you take a man seriously that looks like that? I guess the reverse argument is, how do you take a woman seriously who's wearing a shower cap out to dinner? Well, James O'Keefe continues to expose those who are corrupt and who are taking advantage of American taxpayers, and we are thankful of that. So another incredible report by James O'Keefe. And I want to highlight something that just recently happened. We're going to play clip 12 for you because I think we got to bring some attention to this. In North Carolina right now, there are two churches that were just intentionally, it looks like, set on fire. And the local police over there are in need of your help. And so we figured
we do our part and bring a little bit of attention to this issue. Because again, when churches are set on fire intentionally in this country and abroad throughout Europe, we need to be talking about it because you never know what the causes are of it. But there is, some of us might speculate, a common theme. So right now in Cleveland County, in North Carolina, they are looking for assistance in regards to these two churches that were intentionally set on fire. Take a listen.
Investigators say the fires were set at Tabernacle Baptist Church on Corinth Church Road and Calvary's Cross Baptist Church on Mount Zion Church Road between 9 and 10 at night last Friday. The sheriff's office says both churches were damaged by the suspected arson. Investigators confirm both were spotted by residents who quickly put the fires out before there was significant damage. If you have any information or think you may have seen something suspicious in that area around those times, you are urged to call the Cleveland County Sheriff's Office.
And if you do know anything about those fires, give them a call because, okay, of course, you know, we have to help out our churches. They are under attack. And whenever these things do happen, they need our help. So if you do know anything about it, give the Cleveland County Sheriff's Office a ring. They are currently investigating this and we should do everything we can to help them out, of course. All right. I want to switch up gears to on the topic of crime and talk about Washington, D.C., because Big Balls has a big announcement. And the D.C. prosecutors have just recently made the arrest of two more suspects who are accused of beating up Big Balls. As many of you guys know, we covered the story last week. The two teens that were arrested, thanks to a judge and liberal policies in D.C., will not be facing jail time. But apparently, according to Judge Jeanine, they have just made two recent arrests. Take a listen to clip 14, because she details everything that has just recently taken place over the last few hours. Take a listen.
On April 3rd of this year, Lawrence Cotton Powell was sentenced for a felony attempted robbery. My office asked for jail time. Judge McLean, a judge sitting in the criminal part in Superior Court with no criminal background, made a decision to give Cotton Powell probation in spite of his conviction on a felony attempted robbery. Within 31 days, by May 4th, Powell reoffends. He's rearrested while he's on probation from the felony, and he's charged with simple assault and possession of a prohibited weapon B. On May 4th, my office asked that probation be revoked. But on May 16th, that same Judge McLean comes back and releases Cotton Powell and tells him, basically, be a good boy. On July 24th, he is sentenced to one of the two misdemeanors that he's charged with. Again, my office asks for jail time after he victimized yet another person. And on July 25th, another judge suspends his sentence and decides that he should be on probation.
Not surprising, so folks, that we continue to see these rogue judges step in and create more victims rather than advocating for victims. It happens time and time again, especially in the swamps of D.C. But it's good to hear that Judge Jeanine is doing her very best to go to the bottom of all of this and advocate for these victims. All right, folks, we got a lot more to discuss in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done so already, head on over to the alexjonesapp.com and download the app. It is your way of staying in touch with us. So in case anything happens, we could all stay connected. So head on over to the alexjonesapp.com right now. We'll be right back.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day
right. And
pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the alexjonesstore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Excited that you're all joining us today. A lot going on all around the world that we're breaking down for you on today's program. Everyone's afraid to talk about these stories, but we're fearless over here at InfoWars, and we're excited that you're joining us here on the American Journal. A lot happening here. We're going over a couple of headlines. I saw this one and was cackling this morning. I couldn't stop. It was like an uncontrollable laugh when I clicked onto a soundbite. Whenever I see Lindsey Graham's face and Sean Hannity, I know it's going to be a good one. So I had to click it, had to listen to it. And it's Sean Hannity and Lindsey Graham talking about a private discussion that they had in regards to Venezuela and President Trump going after Venezuela and making sure they stop shipping their fatal drugs to the United States. Well, you probably could just predict what was said during this discussion. It has a lot to do with Lindsey Graham wanting to make Venezuela the 51st state, apparently, of the United States. Take a listen.
I had a chat with you this weekend. I thought you had a pretty darn good idea. And you said you were going to share it with the president. I want to know if you did. And that is this opposition leader in Venezuela that won the Nobel Prize that said it really deserved to go to Donald Trump. Sounds like a pretty good leader to me for the people of Venezuela. And the end of narco-terrorism and a better relationship with the U.S. Or if they choose maybe the 51st state, I don't know.
Sounds good to me, but the opposite.
Yeah, sounds good to you, Lindsey Graham. I mean, this guy foams with mouth when he thinks of a new war that could be started. He doesn't even shy away from it. He knows that the public knows that he is a traitor to this country and he would love more bloodshed. And so there he is, foaming at the mouth, thinking about taking over Venezuela. Why not? Yeah, it's a great idea. It's a great idea. Notice how none of those men on your screen, talking about Sean Hannity and Lindsey Graham, of course, strap up when it comes to these types of discussions. Yes, it's okay for President Trump to go after those trying to ship fatal drugs to our country. I'm 1,000% on board for President Trump going after those who are trying to kill Americans, who have successfully killed thousands of Americans. But the reality of it is we shouldn't be sitting here smiling, grinning at the idea of making Venezuela the 51st state of the U.S. Why are we doing this? Well, of course, because they are warmongers and they want more bloodshed. But the reality of it is preventative-wise, this is what President Trump's doing. He's out there intentionally going after these drug shipments that are coming to the United States because, well, we're done watching Americans die. You know, yesterday on this show, we covered an American who was homeless and sadly, fatally overdosed all fentanyl, allegedly, according to a reporter who was on the ground, obviously, on the streets. And this is a story that is told time and time again throughout our country. Americans are dying because they are addicted to fentanyl. Some of them are even just accidentally coming across fentanyl and they are dying. They're overdosing from it. So when we sit here and we talk about the drug war that's currently going on right now, understand this has been a battle that's been going against us for quite some time now. President Trump is just bold enough to strike back. But when they sit there and they smile and grin about possibly taking over Venezuela, it really doesn't sit well with me. We're trying to save American lives. We're not trying to take another country. We are not trying to do that. And for some reason, some way, Lindsey Graham, Sean Hannity always find a way to bring it back, to wrangle it back into the warmongers' perspective and all of this. So it's very discouraging to see. But President Trump is doing his very best to protect the American people by making sure that those who come after us, those who are looking to bring fatal drugs into our country, are held accountable. I want to shift it over a little bit more to, we could do this at clip 17 because this one's quite interesting. Jay Jones, that's the individual running for VAAG, obviously Democrat. He's very violent in private text messages. And for some reason, the left won't disown him. We played the clip of Nancy Pelosi saying, well, it's the best we got, so we got to keep him in the race. But now leftist protesters are refusing to debunk exactly what he's saying. Take a listen.
Do you denounce Jay Jones? Do you denounce Jay Jones? He's called for the death of Republican children. No. Just abject silence. I'm going to give you guys one more time. We have our Teep USA meeting, the first one at William and Mary over here. We have protesters. Do any of them want to denounce Jay Jones running for attorney general? Really, guys? He called for the deaths of children. Not at all? Is that what you believe in? Jay Jones said, I quote, I hope his children die in his wife's arms. We don't tolerate hate? Very unfortunate. Very disappointed in all of you.
I'm not disappointed in any of them. It's actually expected at this point in the game. You see, these people do not actually care about the causes they claim to care about. In fact, they don't. They don't care. They do not care. So the next time someone tells me that I have to, and I'm just going to take the strong take on this at this point, because I know last week I was like, all right, you know, I kind of was tap dancing around it a bit. I'm going to take a very strong stance on this. The next time you tell me about a private group message that gets leaked to the Politico and the rest of us having to condemn what's said amongst friends in a group message, I'm going to tell you to kick rocks. Because the reality of it is they weren't threatening to kill anyone. But when those on the left do just that, very few people want to speak up about it. In fact, Nancy Pelosi tells you it's the best we got, so we're just going to keep them in the race. And when you ask leftist protesters, well, can you at least say that it was not acceptable? They don't do that. Why do we bend the knee? Why do we bend the knee? And I continuously call out others, and I also need to hold myself accountable because sometimes I want to be a little fluffy. I want to be a little nice about it when you put it out there. But the harsh reality is they don't care about us. They want us dead. They want us dead. Now, again, it's not a call for violence. It's just the reality is we don't throw our own under the boat. So last week when I told you I don't care about the Politico leaks, the text messages that were dropped, I still mean it. I don't care about it. And I'm not going to condemn it because look at these people. They have no problem standing up and saying, well, we don't care about the guy who was threatening to kill children. You see, time and time again, we saw it even this weekend when we saw that teacher who was sitting there doing the gun thing to her neck, trying to infuriate those about Charlie Kirk. we saw very few people speak out on that. Those who did speak out and say that was wrong were on the right, of course. The left is breeding terrorists, and the reality of it is we continue just to allow them to get away with this, that they need to be called out on it. And sometimes, yeah, we all play a part in this. We all sit here and kind of want to just be nice. I know I was on Tim Pool's show, and I'll call myself out on it. I was on Tim Pool's show, and Tim was telling me that the left is full of hates and rage, and, you know, I want to have some hope that they're not all like this, but the reality is, I mean, they are. Sometimes I find myself in denial, not because I actually don't believe it, but I don't want to believe it, because I want to believe that there are kind souls on the other side of this, and we just have a political dispute, but the reality of it is they want us dead. They don't like us. And it's heartbreaking to realize that those are our fellow Americans who are refusing to condemn the words of a man who wanted to kill children. That's where we are in this world. You know, the fact that Charlie Kirk was assassinated should have been something that unified us. But again, those on the left are full of hate and rage. And we can't rely on them. And if you needed any more proof of this, take a look at this video that was released yesterday, because this one really will tick you off. A 38-year-old accountant named Benjamin Campbell was arrested after allegedly opening fire on a MAGA supporter over a Trump sign, according to the Daily Mail. Campbell is accused of firing shots at 62-year-old Mark Thomas in North Carolina. According to Thomas, Campbell was driving on the road when he came to a screeching halt after seeing the Trump sign, because that would have you over the edge. How dare you put up a Trump sign? He was driving along, saw the sign, slammed on his brakes, had a political triggering moment. He just had to tear down the sign. Started reaching up on his tippy toes, trying to get the edges. I just thought to myself, this is not happening. I don't believe this. That's according to Thomas. Thomas said he went outside and fired 2 warning shots. Folks, we live in such a strange time where people think this is like acceptable. How deranged are you? There's no sign that you could place on the side of a road that would have you pulling over to the sign to rip it down. We have a mental health issue in this country, and largely it's those on the left. They're full of emotion, rage, estrogen. And that's what you get there. There used to be a time when we could have political disputes amongst one another, and for some reason, some way, we can't do that anymore. No. It results in name-calling, and it happens on the right, too. But mainly the left. Mainly the left is guilty of this. And it's not really surprising. Speaking of estrogen, too, we'd probably play clip 18 for you. Because in clip 18, we have Hakeem Jeffries on CNN, and he's really triggered because President Trump keeps posting satire videos of him and other things, and it really, really has him angry. Take a listen.
Showed him with a crown, flying in a plane, bombing the No Kings protesters with piles of waste. It's a family program. I'll use that word. House Speaker Mike Johnson says that it's just Trump using social media and satire. Satire is the word that he used to make a point. How do you see it?
Well, that video is deeply unserious, deeply unpresidential, and deeply un-American. But unfortunately, it's the type of erratic, extreme behavior that the American people have continued to see from this president and from this administration from the very beginning. And of course, it's no surprise to us that House Republicans continue to behave as nothing more than reckless rubber stamps for Donald Trump's extreme agenda that's hurting the American people, and of course, for his extreme behavior that they continue to whitewash.
Yeah, poor Hakeem Jeffries. He's not happy about this at all. He has no sense of humor. And I love it when they sit there and they point. They're so dramatic. President Trump keeps posting these videos. Folks, you lack a sense of humor. You really shouldn't work in D.C. You have to sit back and laugh. Otherwise, what the heck are you doing here? I mean, President Trump is dropping poo. This AI-generated video. How do you not laugh at that? How do you not laugh? It's funny. Listen, if you were to have Hakeem Jeffries flying past a MAGA rally dropping poo, I would laugh and say this guy's a moron and move on. I wouldn't get upset. I would get triggered. It's been consuming the mainstream media. They're so upset. So upset by it, of course. And again, they just have no sense of humor. These people are miserable. Miserable. President Trump is using AI to bring a laugh to everyone. Here comes the poo. How do you not laugh at that? You soulless humans, come on. Come on. Oh, man. Sorry, it's early in the morning. Hope you're not having breakfast when you're watching this show today. Massive, massive unsettling images right now. I'll spare you of my visual words. Let's turn to more poo. Governor Gavin Newsom. Governor Gavin Newsom is obviously not a very good person. He is the Democrats' front runner, though, for the 2028 election. That's just how bad things are right now for Democrats. They're not likable people. They're actually horrible humans. And, you know, it's not looking good. It's not looking good. So Gavin Newsom right now is openly admitting that during the fires that were taking place, you know, the fires that sadly dozens of people did die in, hundreds of homes lost, millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of damage, because Gavin Newsom is unable to manage the forest, manage, when obviously it's in season, manage to fill up the reservoirs. Well, Gavin Newsom's coming clean. And it sounds like he's admitting to consuming tequila in his mansion while reflecting on the crisis, because he felt overwhelmed after losing the election. What? In what world? The New York Post saying that Newsom nursed the bottle of tequila at his home while L.A. burned down. And he blamed, obviously, the Trump lobby for it. Everything is collapsing. No, not everything's collapsing, you moron. You just don't know how to manage your forests. You don't know how to do cleaning. I actually think he does, right? Because President Trump warned him under the first administration what he needed to do to prevent these fires from creating massive, massive amount of damages. And you just have to assume at this point that it's all intentional, because it was preventable. I mean, this was largely all preventable. Everything that you see on your screen was preventable if he actually did his damn job. And it's arson. We should probably remind you all of the most recent arrest. Again, I don't know if I believe the arrest itself. Doesn't really make much sense, but it's definitely something to pay attention to. So again, folks, quite the interesting perspective, Gavin Newsom hitting the bottle of tequila pretty hard rather than helping out Californians. And now they're just going to run him. They're going to run him for president in 2028. Might as well. But what else do you have? Ah, that Gavin Newsom. At least that's when he had some testosterone in his body. That man is so weak, so beta, such a piece of garbage. Such a piece of garbage. I'll never forget the image of when he's talking to news reporters and he's pretending to be devastated by the fires in the back. It's all dramatic. It's all theatrical. He doesn't truthfully care about these people. And we were told it was a conspiracy if you were talking about this was all intentional to help create more affordable housing. The push for smart cities. Well, looks to be the case. You conspiracy theorists, you always get it right. You always get it right. Tequila time at Newsom's mansion. Man is unbearable. He's absolutely unbearable. I want to turn to something else too, folks. I was meant to bring it to you yesterday. And, I got consumed in so many interviews. That's why we're like, all right, we're catching up with the headlines today, because I felt like I was missing a lot yesterday. We were supposed to talk about yesterday, the internet failures. All of a sudden, you know, Amazon Web Service took a massive hit. There was outages beginning early yesterday morning. And I knew this because I was trying to look at my Ring doorbell camera, my Ring cameras, I should say, because I always like to check in on my dogs, my little pups. I see what they're doing when I'm gone. Sometimes they throw a party, they're running around the house. I just like to like look to see if they actually miss me, because they pretend like they miss me when I come home. But I couldn't spy on my little pooches. And I was like, what the heck's going on here? So I was a little nervous. And then we learned, thanks to Matt, Matt turned over this information yesterday saying that there was outages and it was widely affecting Amazon, Alexa, Snapchat, Fortnite, and other popular apps. Even the McDonald's app was experiencing errors. Now, again, they won't tell you specifically why this was happening. If you were waiting for an Amazon delivery too, you might have not received it yesterday. Now, here's my question. If it was a hacking, if it was a bigger hit job, do you think they would have told us? Probably not. They're not giving us much in the way of details. They did restore it, though, it looks like last night. But again, this was a massive, massive issue, and they're just claiming that it was outages and related to an issue in Virginia, North Virginia. The outage highlights the extensive reliance on AWS infrastructure, described as an online earthquake. I don't know. I just happen to think it's hackers, and they wouldn't tell us if it was really actually hackers or not. So something to keep in the back of your mind, of course. I want to turn to another issue. Actually, and I should also mention this, a couple of weeks ago, I went to one of my banking apps to see, to transfer over funds, and it was zeroed out. Everything was zeroed out. As I called the bank in, like, a little bit of a panic, and they're like, yeah, we're having outages. But they never said anything specifically as to what it was. So just another reason to make sure you keep some cash on you, because if something does happen, which is very likely we're going to take a lot of these hits, make sure you have your cash on you. I guess this is a little bit more positive news for Joe Biden. Again, we on the right do not wish death upon our enemies. Political enemies, that is. Former president. Oh, who put that in there? Former president. He didn't win. Joe Biden, the man who was occupying the White House, that's how I phrase it, has completed radiation therapy for his prostate cancer that we're supposed to pretend like we just learned about. He just discovered this. That he wasn't actually receiving prostate treatments when he was occupying the White House. All those long vacations that he was taking on the weekends just disappeared, vanished off the map. We're not supposed to pretend like that what it was. But apparently he just completed his radiation therapy for prostate cancer, according to CNN. He's expressing that he will, with confidence, beat cancer. Again, cancer is remaining in his bones, so it's not very likely that that is going to happen for him, unfortunately. But we do not wish death on our enemies, political enemies, that is. That is the difference between us on the right. All right, folks, let's turn to another story. You may have heard about this. Well, actually, let's turn to this one, because this one's with Nick Sorter, so I could do this one. We're going to turn to clip 13, because Portland protesters say Black MAGA supporters hate themselves. And I think it just highlights the fact that a lot of these people, especially on the left, they don't get out of their little box. They live in their little algorithm. And I always say, like, touch grass, get off the internet, put your phone down, experience life. Because you'll find out that when you actually talk to people and interact, that this political hatred that's building up is actually not what it seems like. And they are, in fact, drumming us up on social media platforms to make us feel like we're going to go to war with one another. I don't think that's the case. But take a listen to clip 13.
My God!
Wait, what'd you say?
What'd you say?
Black and MAGA.
I can't be Black and MAGA?
Worse.
I can't be Black and MAGA.
You can't sweat skin, because there'll be a lot of Blacks who are rolling with the Republicans.
So I can't be Black and MAGA.
Oh, you can be Black and MAGA. You're a fucking sellout. You're a sellout.
How am I a sellout?
You're a piece of shit.
I can't have my own opinion.
Absolute.
I can't have my own opinion.
You are really, it's worse. You would expect that shit from me being white, but you hate yourself so much.
Oh my God.
You have so much self-hate that it's sad.
You said shame on him? Really? Why do you feel the need to lecture him as a Black man? I mean, you're telling him.
Right. You fucking hate your own skin color. How? Do you think that Trump people like you?
A lot of them.
Oh, they hate you. They are using you. You are simply, you exist people like you.
Are you using white privilege to try to lecture a black man? Is that what's going on right now?
I use my white privilege to lecture a black man.
By lecturing a black man. That's an opinion, right? That's an open opinion, right?
So lecture it.
What do you mean chill? He walked it up to him and then scolded him for being black.
Okay, that's not what
happened. How is that not what happened? Okay, he's saying shame on him because he's black and wearing a MAGA hat. That's why he came up to him. That's not what happened? Okay.
It was crazy.
He walked through the crowd at the waterfront.
Yeah, so I was trying to find the pro-MAGA crowd because, you know, to show support with them and stand with them. And I got caught up in the anti, crowd and I was walking through them. It was very interesting. A lot of dirty looks, a lot of negative comments. But other than that, I didn't engage in any, you know, shit talking. I just kept going, kept walking because, you know, I'm outnumbered. There's only hundreds of people in the crowd. I'm by myself. This black man that's dark skinned with the MAGA hat, with the Trump bandana and with a Trump 2024 shirt. So you best believe that when I was in that crowd, I just, you know, minding my own business and just kept walking. But other than that, I'm in support of Donald Trump. God bless our president. God bless our ICE officers and God bless America. And all, to all the patriots that are watching this, God bless you and let's make this country great again, man.
You're the man.
Isn't it so insane? Nick's sort of doing great work in Portland, reporting from the ground over there. Isn't it insane that these people think that there's only one way to think? There's only one way to operate. And that is that you must comply with their narrative. This is the same Democratic Party that was enslaving black Americans. And if you dare to think outside of the box and for yourself, they'll come after you. You're a fool if you think that your life somehow, some way got better under Joe Biden. Black Americans know that their lives got better under President Trump. President Trump is creating policies that affect every American, regardless of race, and they don't get it. You see, here's the thing. I hate the race stuff. I hate going back and forth with this. In fact, I have a lot of black friends who do support MAGA. They do support MAGA, and they just don't care to engage in the back and forth with those on the left. But the reality of it is they don't care for that nonsense. They understand that this country has a race problem, but the race problem comes from those on the left. Think about it. Every time I've gone to a Trump rally and I've seen someone who is a minority, even as a woman, I'm like welcomed with open arms. They love it. They love to see everyone getting involved in this. And so it's just another liberal who is living in the own algorithm, has no idea the rest of the world has a different perspective and definitely needs to touch grass. So many Americans need to just get outside and touch grass. That would be my recommendation for the day. Laugh a little bit and touch grass. Before you do that, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. Because there's a lot going on over there right now. Colostrum. When you buy one, you get another supplement for 50% off. That is the sale that is going on today. Again, these sales only last for a few hours, so you're going to want to head on over there right now and get some of that stock up while you can, of course. Colostrum's great for those who are looking to get rid of inflammatory, like symptoms. So again, head on over right now to the Alex Jones store.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene Blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene Blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about Methylene Blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took
10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue, at theolivesholestore.com.
Off the third lap of the show, the final lap of the show, the third hour. It always feels like time flies by and we get to this point. Matthew Marsden could be joining me in just a few moments. He's got a lot to sound off on, as many of you know. He is someone who spent a lot of time in Hollywood making films. He's an actor. He is an incredible actor. And they kicked him out because, well, he's conservative. They don't like that. I was on the phone with him yesterday. We were going over what we were going to talk about today. And we're going to talk about President Trump now pushing for 100% tariffs on films being made outside of the country. But there's this whole backstory to it that you have to know about that no one else is going to tell you about. And it's how DEI and all these other things have created just this undesirable market here in the United States for films to be made here. And in fact, actors and actresses, I mean, nobody is able to fill these positions unless, of course, you're okay, especially if you're a male. You're okay with pretending to be a gay man on film. Obviously, most heterosexual men are not okay with that. They don't care if it's acting. They want no part in the propaganda. And so I've got a lot of questions for Matt. This is going to be joining us in just a few moments. So you're going to want to dive into that with us. Also, we'll be taking your calls on the second half of the show. So give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. If you have something to discuss that's relevant to the topics we were discussing today, give me a ring, 877-789-2539. We would love to hear from you, of course. This is the part of the show where we want you to sound off, talk with me, have a conversation. So give me a call. All right, folks. So we got a lot more to discuss, too, in the third hour of the show. Third. Time flies when you're having fun, and I'm excited that you're all here with us. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you head on over right now to thealexjonesapp.com to download the app. Again, it's how we stay in touch. I keep telling you guys, I keep reminding you all that it's really important that you do just that, because we never know when they're going to close the front door and we're going to have to start our next operation. So that's how you stay in touch, stay in contact with us through the Alex Jones app. So just alexjonesapp.com. No the between that. But folks, we got a lot that we're discussing today as well in regards to breaking news. I've told you all, I know a lot of you are like on X, like, this isn't new. This isn't new. It's not new. It's not new, but it's finally my report being confirmed. I was told last year under the Biden regime that I was putting out rumors and disinformation for reporting the fact that North Carolina was intentionally failing to protect and help Americans, obviously after the devastating hurricane. Now, DHS, FEMA confirming what I was telling you all about, because there was brave patriots who stepped up to the front lines of all of this. And reported the fact that, yes, in fact, FEMA was discriminating based on your political views. Now, again, I know for most of you at home, you're like, this isn't breaking news. Brianna, we knew about this. No, it's breaking news only because it's confirmed news. Now we know that the government knew exactly that. I also reported, and I reported straight from the FEMA website, that millions and millions of your taxpayer dollars were being shuffled over to legal aliens while DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was going, oh, we're going to go broke soon at FEMA. We need more money. And I was one of the very first people to go, wait a minute. You guys shuffled millions of dollars over to illegal aliens. What do you mean you need more money? And then even on FEMA's website, they actually tried to debunk my report again, writing that that was false misinformation, that no emergency funds were being shifted over. That was a lie. It's one of the many lies. And that's why we're playing. I feel like this was like a game, right? It's like the I was right game. It's crazy, but they tried their very best to go after and discredit independent journalists, but they failed. And thankfully they failed. So the rest of us are just sitting on the sidelines now enjoying our victory lap. And this is why you watch InfoWars. This is why you subscribe. Or this is why you follow me on social media. I mean, this is why you do this. It's because the rest of the world is too afraid, too cowardly to go out there and call out the North Carolina governor, Roy Cooper, for what he was doing to Americans on the ground. abandoning them, telling those who were looking to rescue and save them to hold off because he had to make a disaster even worse than what it already was. To push mail-in ballots, of course. That's in my personal belief. Folks, we've got more to discuss in just a few moments. Matthew Marsden is calling into the show. He's joining us to break down what these tariffs truly mean for Hollywood. Make sure you give me a ring as well, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We want to talk to you guys about the news that we've been discussing all day today. So give me a ring.
Alex Jones, patriot. A man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life. But they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster. Louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Side that you guys are here with us today. We're taking your calls in just a few moments. 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Give us a ring. There's a story that we talked about that you'd like to elaborate a little bit on, maybe sound off on. Give me a ring. We'd love to hear from you, of course. Matthew Marsden is going to join me in just a moment. We are going to shift things over, though, to Hollywood in a minute. But I just noticed that Corinne Jean-Pierre was on MSNBC, and she's pulling the race card, of course. Not only the race card, she's also throwing out the fact that she's a person of the LGBTQ community while pushing her new book. Let's take a listen. Okay, so we don't have that one yet. We're going to wait for Matthew Marsden as well, so if you guys can let me know when he's... Okay, so let's go to Matthew Marsden, because Matthew Marsden's here with us now, and he's going to be discussing... What we've been talking about earlier in the show today, we have been sounding off about tariffs, obviously, but specifically films in Hollywood right now are not really happening these days. They're not filming or producing their films here. In fact, President Trump is kind of upset about it and the fact that this is being shifted over to foreign countries. And for several months now, he's been threatening to impose 100% tariffs on these films. And there's a lot of backstory behind this that most Americans don't know. And so joining us now, like I said, is Matthew Marsden. He is an actor extraordinaire, of course, and he joins us today to sound off on all things related to Hollywood. He also has an incredible YouTube channel, which I'd highly recommend if you are on YouTube still and you're not like the rest of us who are constantly being banned, head on over there and make sure you subscribe to the Matthew Marsden channel as well. Matthew, thank you for being here. All right, so President Trump, for most Americans, is pushing... for 100% tariffs on films that are being shot outside of the country. Now, most Americans probably don't understand the backstory in all of this, and that's why I wanted to have you on here, because, you know, some people say that there's a bit of a staffing issue related to films shot here in the United States, but it's not that. There's more to the story. So help our audience understand that.
Having me on first, it's always good to be on your show. All right, so, I mean, firstly, let's address the elephant in the room. Hollywood is dying because of its woke agenda. They have been pushing out movies that nobody wants to watch. And part and parcel of this is because of the DEI policies that they've put in place over the past 15 years. So now what you've got is a bunch of people in positions of power that really shouldn't be there with, you know, the guys from years and years ago who did put out great movies. They've all moved on, mainly because the majority of them are older white guys. And we can't be having that in Hollywood anymore. We can't be having people that are actually good at their job. So what they did was they artificially stimulated the system to put in people of color, people with different, let's just say, minority classifications into those jobs. Now, As far as the production's concerned, Hollywood has been dying for many, many years. The great Gavin Newsom, who I'm sure he's going to go and try and run for president, even though he's run everywhere that he has managed into the ground. He has not helped Hollywood one bit because the tax breaks for Hollywood are absolutely disastrous. So if you cast your mind back maybe 15 years ago, there were two places vying for tax breaks, one of them being Louisiana and the other one being for Georgia. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, well, we shouldn't really have tax breaks for the film industry, but you know, one movie being made in an area is a force multiplier of about 10 times the amount of money that the actual movies are being made in that particular area. So if you have a movie, let's say like Black Panther, which was shot in Georgia, you're looking at $200 million going into the system. And that can, that they hire carpenters, it's food, it's, you know, all across the board, electricians. So it's a massive boost for the economy. Now, a few years ago, I believe it was Bobby Jindal stopped the tax breaks in Louisiana, and all of a sudden, everything just moved to Georgia. So if you're looking around the Trilith Studios in Georgia, that's where they make all these massive movies like Avengers Endgame. But even there, because of the unions, it's costing so much money that film companies, because, you know, they're so patriotic, Brianna, we know this, you know, we know how patriotic Hollywood is. They're like, you know what? I can go and shoot in Malta, which where my wife is from, and I actually met her there doing a film there 20 odd years ago. You get 40% back tax breaks. So why wouldn't you go there? If you're looking at $1 million spend, you're going to get 400,000 back. So that gets you as an investor off risk a lot faster. So in addition to that, there are no unions there. Same with the UK. There are no real unions there to speak of. So what is happening is Hollywood is offshoring the majority of its production. They've been doing this for years and years and years with television by going to Canada, Toronto and Vancouver. But even Vancouver now is getting very, very expensive. So they're saying, do you know what? Let's just shift all production abroad. We don't have to deal with the expensive unions over there. And so that is why Trump is saying, listen, I'm going to tax you 100% on anything that is made abroad, because the industry is just bleeding here. So it's a combination of multiple things.
Yeah, well, I would say so. And it's really infuriating to sit back and watch. You know, I want to talk a little bit about the roles specifically that they're trying to push on to others. I mean, I've always heard rumors about what they do to those who are looking to get jobs. I know that, like, and there's been people who've spoken out about it regarding like Harvey Weinstein and stuff and what they've done to female actresses who wanted to excel in their career and what they had to do there. But what is it like for like male actors in this field? Because again, if you're someone with conservative values or just someone who doesn't want to engage in all of this, it seems like that they continue to push this narrative that, I guess I'll just say like heterosexual men just can't play these roles without having to play into the DEI angle for all of this. Like if you're just a normal white guy looking for an acting gig, you just can't get it these days.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, Brianna, that especially when it comes to action movies, white males are the biggest earners. You just can't get away from that. That's been the case all over the world. And although people don't want to admit it, China, which is one of the biggest markets in the world now, I think they might have double or even triple the amount of screens in their country as we do here. They will not put black people on the front of their posters. I mean, they're massively racist over there, but Hollywood kind of like ignores that. They don't admit that, all while taking the money from the Chi-Coms. So it's a massive problem. And yeah, all you've got to do now is look at, I mean, it used to be a joke, right? If you want to get an Oscar, then you've got to either play a gay role or a cripple or whatever it might be, some kind of handicapped person to get a role. It's not like you can't just play an upstanding human being in a great film anymore. You have to have these handicaps. But yeah, no, as if you are a straight white male, which is what I am, firstly, if you're a conservative, they don't want you in the industry. And then what they do, see, it's very insidious what they do. And they did this to me many, many years ago, around 2010, this happened to me. What they'll do is they'll put something out. They'll kind of, they're kind of on like backhanded. They did this with COVID as well by saying, oh, have you taken the vaccine? And that was like a covert thing for saying, are you a conservative? Which is really weird, right? Because the crunchies out there, they didn't want to take the vaccines either. But what that was is that's a way of canceling. So it's very insidious in Hollywood, because what they'll do is they just won't call you. And so when you've got let the audience know how it works on the different levels. So you have the lower level, which is auditioning. Then you go to producers, then you get the offers. And that normally goes through a producer will say, let's say if they want me, they'll say, okay, well, to the casting director, I want Matthew Marsden. Now, if the casting director wants someone else, and this has happened to me, they'll say, oh, well, he's not available. Or they'll say, well, he's busy, or hey, why don't you look at this actor? And they'll delay you going in, or just most times now, they just won't put you up for roles. So there's barriers to entry for actors to get in there. And the problem with that is people say, well, why don't we have more conservative content? Well, the actors have a monetary value to the studio. So how much an actor can bring in, let's just say, if it was me, I used to be able to greenlight movies. I would have a dollar amount attached to me. Let's say it was $5 million. They would know that, you know, well, okay, I can budget having Matt in this lead role for $5 million, so I can pay him up to X amount, right? Mm-hmm. But then what happens is the actors that get those roles, they choose certain kinds of movies. So while you're seeing all these liberal actors out there, they constantly get roles, constantly get roles. Well, they're going to go and choose the movies to make that align with their values. So you have a massive issue now. All the conservative actors are pushed out. That's why you get all these maniac movies that nobody wants to watch. This is why you keep seeing these trans movies pushing agendas instead of making like It's a Wonderful Life. And the industry doesn't care, because they understand that when you make a movie like this, Brianna, that, you know, with an agenda in it, it's there forever. They might not get you. They might not get your kids, but they're banking on getting your grandkids. And unfortunately, conservatives do not engage in the culture war. So people like me, and I won't name the other actors that are conservative in Hollywood, because you know, they won't get work. I mean, this is just the way it is. But we don't get to, number one, promote films, which, by the way, I want to make this clear. If you're looking at actors, leftist actors, when they go out and they do a big movie, guess what? They have the studios come behind them and they promote them on social media. So all of a sudden they have these massive, massive followings, which they could just retire on anyway. But they then utilize it for political gain. So there's absolutely no, it's no coincidence that Obama went to Netflix when he left office, right? So they utilize Hollywood as a propaganda machine, and we're just not engaged in it, which is why we're losing.
Yeah. No, it is why we're losing it. And that's the part that's so infuriating about it. You know, there's a couple of conservative, I mean, not even a couple. I mean, off the top of my head, I think is what Angel Production is the one conservative film company that we have on the right. I know the Daily Wire has tried to do its best to become a film company, push out movies, but sadly they haven't really landed much, and it's upsetting to see. I know you mentioned China in all of this. I want to talk about the Chinese investments that are made here in the United States. I think that's really interesting. You detailed how in China, like, they would never in a million years put like a black actor on the front of a film. It just wouldn't happen over there. But here, they're heavily investing in our industry, and they're pushing all of this down our throats. So detail the behind the kind of influence that China has over our films.
Right. So firstly, if you look at the movies like the Star Wars movies, they either shrink down the minority character, the black characters, or they'll take them off altogether, because they don't, it's kind of acceptable over there if you have a white person on the poster, but not a black person. And guess what? All of a sudden Hollywood doesn't care about that. They don't care about DEI. They don't care about Black Lives Matters when it's to do with getting money from the Chi-Coms. So for the past, I'd say, 15 years, maybe 20 years, but definitely say 15 years, China understood the importance of culture. They understood the influence that Hollywood had. I mean, listen, I grew up loving Rocky and Rambo when I was growing up. I watched Rocky and I was inspired because in the UK there's a class system. And I was like, you know what? If I work hard enough, I can go out there and I can actually achieve something in my life, right? So it has a very positive effect around the world, and they don't want that for America anyway, but they do want that. They do want the influence for China. So what they've been doing is they've been pumping hundreds of millions of dollars into Hollywood, into these big production companies. And then as a result, by the way, you cannot have a Chinese villain in a movie. Like, if you can tell me the last time there was a Chinese villain in a movie, by the way, think about the remake, which Hollywood doesn't have a new thought in its head about making movies. They always go back and remake films. But if you think about the remake of Red Dawn, they couldn't have China as the bad guys. They had to have North Korea. And everyone's like, what? Like, why are they doing that? This is absurd. Well, it's because China has such a massive, massive influence on them. And like I said, there is a lot of money being spent in China on movies. And I even had as I told you yesterday, Brianna, I had a friend of mine who works, I won't say what production company it is. We had a massive production company, makes huge movies. And they were like, why aren't we selling any tickets in China? So they went over and went into one of the Chinese movie theaters. And they said, well, when we bought the ticket for our movie, they gave me the ticket for another movie that China had invested in. So yeah, that they were putting their thumb on the scales there. And so obviously with movie attendance going down over here, Hollywood is looking and saying, well, where are we selling films? And China is one of them. So they're bending to the Chinese. And that's a massive problem. And we just don't seem to understand it as conservatives, that the culture really matters. Andrew Breitbart said that politics is downstream from culture. And the left has known it for many, many years. They've infiltrated Hollywood, obviously. They've infiltrated the music industry. And we're not doing anything to address it. And like you say, Pete, whenever I say to people, listen, we've got to invest in film, people go, well, Angel Studios. And I'm like, oh, well, listen, there are, I think, 9 major Hollywood studios, 9. And out of that budget, they spend in the billions per year. Angel Studios, God bless them, working really hard. They maybe spend, I don't know, like $150 million on promotion. We're not even competing. We're not even at the game when it comes to those kinds of things. And it is vitally important because unlike, education, let's just look at the education system, how the left has infiltrated that. You have tenured professors. It's going to take 20 to 30 years to revamp the education system. It can take 1 year to change the entertainment industry. 1 year. And we saw that with Top Gun, Maverick. Everyone comes out and go, Top Gun, Maverick? Oh, how come it's made so much money? Well, because you've got a movie star that is not getting involved in politics and just wants to deliver an action movie that everyone wants to watch. And you know, I had a meeting with a very prominent conservative, and I said, you know, now is the time to take over the entertainment industry. And one of the advisors that he had there said, why? Like I said, it's very, very simple. And he laughed at me. And and he said, well, how is it simple? I said, you just make great content. That's all you've got to do and you will win. And of course they didn't invest because that's the way the conservatives are. But we have to do it because as conservatives, we have to look at what China's doing, what the Islamists are doing. They have a 1,000-year plan. We don't even have a 5-year plan, and that has to change.
That's a great point. Matthew, and I want to remind everyone of that. We've detailed it extensively on this show, but I don't think people realize that they've well thought out how they're going to destroy the West. And this is a great way to do so, because you're thinking it's benign. You're going to watch a movie and they're just brainwashing you into all of this. Even Mel Kay, we had her on the show. I believe it was 2 weeks ago. And we detailed, because she was obviously a writer in Hollywood. And so she kind of walked us through all of this. Again, for you who are just tuning in, this is Matthew Marsden. He's an incredible actor. He is the one that you're going to subscribe to over on YouTube, over at the Matthew Marsden channel. So make sure you do that, because he exposes Hollywood over there as well and gives you the conservative takes that you need to hear. Matthew, I want to also bring up this, because President Trump is expected to meet with Xi Jinping next month over in South Korea. Obviously, the president's going to have a plan in place to push the ending of the tariffs. We know right now they're about 55% November 1st, so it's going to up to about 155% for Chinese tariffs. How should the president approach the movie angle to all of this now that he's meeting with the CCP leader?
Well, I think firstly, you can't really control what China is going to be doing as far as investing in the country. I mean, I'm a big one where I look at the threat of China. We look at how they've bought up land, especially in Texas, which is absolutely crazy. You know, the fact that we've allowed China to buy land around our bases is utterly mental to me. But the way that I think that Trump should actually tackle the entertainment industry is bring those of us that are conservatives that have actually been in the industry. And this is why it's so insidious, right? When you get canceled, people go, well, what have you done lately? And I have to go, well, you know, I did Reacher. I did the first season of Reacher. But after then, you know, you don't get the phone calls. So it's one of those really difficult things. There are very few people that have been in the studio system and come out, because why would you come out? You get paid a lot of money. You get all the perks. But I think that what Trump should do is start looking at people internally and say, who do we bring on? And not just like Sly, you know, I work with Sly, who's fantastic, and I know John Voight, but we need younger people, and we need to understand that conservatives need to fund good entertainment. And that doesn't mean squeaky clean entertainment. I mean, if you looked, Mel Gibson couldn't get money for The Passion. So you got an Oscar-winning director doing a movie about Jesus, and he couldn't raise the money. So there needs to be some kind of incentive for us to make good patriotic films. And I think we need to look internally than externally. And as far as the studios are concerned, I don't understand why we should prop up the studios at all. I mean, if you look at something like Disney, look at the filth that they've been putting out. They've been putting it out for years and years and years. And then if you look at like their affiliates like ABC, they're a nightmare. They hate Trump. So as far as I'm concerned, Hollywood can completely die. And what we need to do is set up a different industry that is not centralized in Hollywood. It doesn't have to be in Hollywood at all. And we need to have incentives for people to invest in more conservative films. For example, Brianna, why don't we have a series of movies on Medal of Honor recipients? That to me is absolutely mind-boggling. There are so many great projects that we can do and talk about heroism, especially we've been in, you know, we were in war for the last 20 years. The amount of amazing heroic actions that happened in those wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, you could do movies for the next 20 years and not even get 10% through them. So I think it's more of a mindset that we have to change things here and incentivize things here so that we can get rid of the movie studios. Now, and I'll tell you this, Skydance is going in and buying Paramount. And if you look at Paramount, they've been consistently making great films for many, many years. And they are probably the most conservative of all the different studios. So you're going to see them turning things around.
Yeah. Well, we hope that's
the case. And that's a great thing for the country.
Yeah, no, and you know, everyone loves a good patriotic movie. I mean, those are legendary, and so it's really upsetting that we don't see more of those. I haven't gone to a movie theater in a while, so I'm part of the problem with that too. But the reality of it is I'm just so tired of the propaganda. It just seems overwhelming. So I know those at home are probably thinking the same. So Matthew, I mean, welcome all these ideas. I think they're great ideas, and I think it's a great way for us to push patriotic films that don't push the DEI narrative and other things down our throats that are going to destroy the West. And so we appreciate that. Matthew Marsden, thank you for joining the show. I appreciated this. You know, I was telling everyone too early in the program, like, we were on the call last night breaking down all the most important stuff. related to all of this. So it's always good to hear you condense it for us and help us understand what's going on behind the scenes. So thank you for being here. I also want to thank you for also doing a great job on your YouTube channel. So make sure you guys go head over there, Matthew Marsden channel on YouTube. Give him a follow right now. All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls in just a few moments. 877-789-2539. Give me a ring. Any topic we've discussed today, let's talk about it. Give me a call right now. In the meantime, too, make sure you download the Alex Jones app, alexjones.app.com. That's alexjonesapp.com.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, welcome to the final lap American Journal. We are starting things off in the third hour, second half of the show, by taking your calls. So give me a ring, 877-789-2539. I'm going to try to go down the list and get to everyone. That is always the goal. I forgot I mentioned this story. It was a great story, so I'm going to bring it up now. Earlier this morning, it was announced in the great state of Texas that the Secretary of State, Jane Nelson, apparently uncovered about 2,700 potential non-citizens who were on our voter registrations. Nelson reported that the review that they had put into place to identify their verification proved that over 2,700 individuals who should not be voting in federal elections were somehow, some way added to the voter rolls. Now, can you imagine what that's like for blue states? I mean, can you imagine? It's probably significantly higher. All you have to do is go through the references and cross-check with the federal databases. I know the good folks over at America First Legal have actually mapped out a way to do that for all states. We'd wish they would do just that. So very important story to bring you on election integrity. But let's kick off things with our callers today. And let's go to the first one. Mr. Savage Dog is on the line, and he's talking about no king. So welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. I'm blessed. Hope you are the same.
Thank you.
I got two quick things. Number one, it just occurred to me that I got them stacked up, all the topics to talk to you about. But clear blue skies for the last approximately 3 weeks. No chemtrails whatsoever. It's been beautiful. Okay. And then second, real quick, Kenny Loggins asked the White House to take his, danger zone off of that bombing run on Harry Sisson. So I've got a couple suggestions for him. Number one, Ode to Joy. Go ahead and just play that. And or Tchaikovsky's 1812 Overture, and then like kind of edit it. So every time there's a cannon blast at the end, you know, it hits one of the a group of libtards and just soaks them in the poop bomb.
Savage, okay. You've always got a bunch of ideas. And I think this is why the people are ready to vote for you. They're just waiting for you to announce when you're going to run for office.
Oh, wait till you hear about my let's make a malicious great again plan on my platform, but not today. For the no kings, yeah. On a serious note, you know about how the Satanists, you know, how they believe dark magic works. That, you know, they do it in Hollywood and TV and everything, where they have to tell you what they're doing before it'll work. I think that this No Kings thing was actually a big satanic ritual. The people on the streets don't have any idea, but the people who are working the magic, I think that the No Kings, and I got this idea because I finally got Angel Studios and watched King of Kings, the cartoon. Uh-huh. I think they're saying No Kings, meaning no Jesus.
Yeah.
Like they're doing a satanic ritual or, to... I don't know, when they're sick mind, you know, try to prevent Jesus from having influence, especially because the influence of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And that's about all I have to say about that, unless you got a question or something.
No, I would agree with you on that. And I think that was great because there was a lot of people on X saying just that's what they believed as well. And I know that they were pushing back and saying, yeah, I did see a couple of people pushing back on it and saying Christ is king as the rebuttal for it. So, I mean, that's at least hopeful. I mean, I think it's just an attack on all different levels and all different directions. And so this isn't surprising to me. I mean, these people are just such miserable. I mean, imagine taking your Saturday, which I love my Saturdays. I go to the farmer's market sometimes. I bounce around to different ones, and I truly love going there. Imagine wasting your Saturday to go and show up to one of these rallies where you're just you're around a bunch of low IQ, miserable human beings who just want to destroy the country, maybe not intentionally, maybe indirectly, but that's their only purpose being there is not good. And so, yeah, I don't understand why we even allow in the first place, but I'll let you have the final word on that.
And I just thought, you know, it's kind of sick and sad that they're using the really old people. You know, they're clearing out, they're actually paying, you know, people in their 80s and 90s out of these nursing homes to come and protest till 1 o'clock till it's, you know, tapioca hour, like my boy Salty Cracker has been talking about. But, you know, it's one thing for young people to have time to repent, but, you know, to involve and use it, it's almost like a sacrifice for those who are, you know, getting close to judgment time. to use them to make this happen, because nobody else is showing up anyway.
Yeah, and I hate when they drag the kids out. I feel for the kids. They don't want to be there. They don't want to be there. Yeah, so it's pretty upsetting.
Oh, no, don't. Yeah, don't suffer the children. Boy, I really feel for these people who are using their kids and, you know, keeping them from Christ by, you know, teaching them whatever and then having, you know, teaching them that you're not really a boy. Let's go ahead and chop this off and throw it in a blender. You won't need this anymore.
Aww.
You know, that's the one thing, you know, aside from flipping the tables in the temple, Christ said, you better not ever suffer these children against me. Never, ever. You know, that's the one thing that seemed like it infuriated him besides, you know, desecrating the temple.
Yeah.
So, you know, these people got a lot of thinking to do. I don't know if they can. I'm praying for them.
Yeah. That's all I can.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you've made your choice. You got the free will.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Savage Dog, you get it again. Here you are, right, my friend. Thank you for calling in. As always, we appreciate your time. Let's turn to another caller, Clown Dog, over in New York City. Welcome back to the show. What is on your mind? Clown Car, sorry.
That means Clown Car reporting for duty, ma'am. you know, we're out here at the Donald J. Trump, King County Republican, the committee over here. We decided that Mondani has done one too many things to New Yorkers for us to even consider him as somebody to vote for.
Yeah.
I mean, recently we've seen, you know, taking photos with somebody who's responsible for 9/11. You know, Curtis Oliva is the streets are screaming for Curtis Oliva. Way above, way ahead of Cuomo. Cuomo and Mondani are just holding the people of New York down by putting this charade on. It's obvious that everybody wants Oliva. And, you're a New Yorker. How do you feel about what's going on?
I think it's really depressing. It's really depressing to see what's happening in New York with this guy. And you know, it's crazy. We played the video for you a couple times. I don't know if you saw it, but, Steven Crowder with his undercover unit was able to talk to someone close in the Mondani campaign. And they said this was in the plans for, since 2014 for Mondani to run for mayor, that this didn't just randomly pop up. So we're talking about a 10-year plan that's being implemented before our very own eyes. And it might be successful. I mean, you know, Curtis, I know you're a fan of him, and, you know, it'd be great to have a Republican be able to win this one. It doesn't look like the numbers are on his side, and I know just moments ago he also just said that there's no case scenario where he's ever going to drop out of this race. So you've got him and Andrew Cuomo splitting votes. There was also recently a poll, I posted it on X, I think yesterday, about how if Curtis drops out, how then Cuomo's only 4 points behind Mondani, and so that would be a closer race. I don't even know how we got to the point where we're battling it out between two communists, one who killed grandma and one who's an Islamist communist. And we're sitting here trying to figure out which one is going to be better for the city. And it was strange because as I'm watching the debate, I'm going, oh gosh, am I really about to say that I want Andrew Cuomo to win this? He's a little bit better, obviously, but, the fact that this guy is constantly on the side of jihadists really has me on edge, Clown Car.
Yeah. I mean, have you ever heard his rap song where he talks about Holy Land 5? And then he tells everybody, hey, I dare you to look it up. And you actually just said it right, communist. So basically they're half Kamala and half communist.
Yeah. So bad. It's so depressing. And, you know, I obviously still have family in New York and would love to go visit them. But, I mean, there's nothing more depressing than having to go back to this. Quick question for you, Clown Car. Like, I moved over to Florida, so things are a little different for me. And then I went to Texas, obviously. But what makes you stay put in New York City?
I'm New York City, Brooklyn bound born. I mean, I live in Sheepshead Bay where the ocean is deep and the cement is still cheap. And as an Irish German who's, you know, lived in the Garrison Beach area most of my life, you know, yeah. I'm Irish by my mother, German by my father, Italian by my neighborhood, Jewish by my wallet. You got me?
This is why I love my fellow New Yorkers. You know, I actually took dictation classes because my New York accent was so heavy and so thick, and I figured I was never going to get a gig in TV or even production work. So, I used to have a New York accent, not so much these days anymore. So I'm always mispronouncing my vowels every now and then because I'm double checking. But when you say it so eloquently like that, it makes me miss my old ways. Clown Car, thank you for calling into the show.
You know what Keskak is?
Say one more time for me.
You know what a Keskak is?
I don't think so, no.
Keskak. Keskak.
All right, love you. Bye.
Bye. Thank you for calling him. We appreciate you as always. Tim in California, you want to keep it on the Madani beat these days, so we'll bring you back in. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning. You know, it's funny, too, because you just also mentioned that, you know, the Beret, he's not going to drop out.
Yeah,
Sliwa is not going to drop out. But, yeah, I was calling because the Wall Street Journal opinion published yesterday was warning about, you know, the impact of a Mamdani win. It's just a couple of sentences. It says if Mr. Mamdani wins, the move left will accelerate as more progressives run in primaries and cause other Democrats to shift left themselves. Some Republicans welcome a Mamdani victory because they think it will help them in 2026 midterms. They may be right, especially in New York State, but GOP Glee is short-sighted. The demise of New York as a financial center wouldn't be good for the economy. The biggest risk is a socialist takeover of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And man, that's it. You've got an Islamic Marxist that is just, he so reminds me of what happened in Cuba in the early 60s. You know, he even looks like him. He looks like Fidel Castro looked.
Yeah.
You go back and look at Fidel Castro and everyone's just smiling, happy. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And then look at them now. They're stuck in the 1950s.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like the dream that they're selling young people. And I understand the stress, right? Because like I'm not that much older than a lot of these folks who are supporting him. And my heart goes to them because I don't think they realize that hard work is what your 20s is all about. I was working my butt off, working two jobs, and I couldn't afford my New York rents. I mean, I was literally living in like a basement apartment with a roommate, and we were just grinding it out to get through our 20s together and trying to build ourselves up. And so I know a lot of them who are supporting him don't understand that you have to work hard. I mean, that's what your 20s are all about. It's all about paying your dues. And so this communist push leaning towards free, I mean, it's laughable, but during the debates when he's talking about free bus rides, and what's the cost? Oh, we're going to raise your taxes. Oh, well, then it's not free. I mean, these people just don't understand the issues here. And it breaks my heart, this communist takeover that's sweeping its way around the country. I mean, again, it's not just New York City is devastating, but also, you know, you brought up what it means to sit back and to watch Madani potentially win this race. It's not just, and I hate when Republicans, I hear them say, well, then we'll finally get them to vote for us because they'll see how bad it is. Like, I don't want to hit that low. Like, I don't want them to think that these jihadists have taken over London and now they're going to New York City. I mean, they're grabbing all the major cities. There's also a push in Atlanta, Georgia as well to have one of their socialist candidates move through and to become the mayor over there too. So it's devastating to see, and I really don't want to hit rock bottom, but it's been a plan and put in place for a very long time now, and it's finally being carried out before our very own eyes. And it's a matter of, oh gosh, that's a bad one. It's a matter of, do you want this guy to run the city? He's never had a real job. He doesn't understand how life works. His family is communist, obviously. And then he's over here telling politicians like Andrew Cuomo. I mean, I'll get your take on this, Tim, when he turns to Andrew Cuomo and says, you've never been to a mosque. And, you know, I pressured you to go in and start speaking to Muslim voters. I mean, Tim, when do you recall candidates ever having to go to a mosque and bow down to Muslims to get them to vote for them? I don't recall that ever happening, and I don't know why that's now the new standard.
Well, and you just had Klamkar on. He would have been a great guy to ask about this, but I understand, and you probably talked about this. You're from New York. Hey, they'll have just all the streets blocked and all the cabs are just gridlocked, and what's going on? Oh, it's the call to prayer.
Yeah.
Oh, so all the Muslim-type folk, they gotta stop everything they're doing. And in large part, I think they're doing it just to stick a thumb in your eye.
Yeah.
Like, hey, and this, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, I was having a conversation with a guy, and he was telling me then mathematically, we're just doomed because Christians don't produce enough children. Yeah, and we now know we're importing all these people. We don't even keep up the 2 point whatever kids we're supposed to have per family to just replace ourselves. But a lot of these, you know, hey, it's 6, 8, 9, you know, as many as they want, as many wives as they want. Just keeps going. And, so, yeah, they outpopulate us, and eventually, if for no other reason, they'll take over the world, you know, not just through their evilness, but just sheer numbers. They'll overwhelm us eventually. It may not happen in my lifetime, but it will in your lifetime, I suspect.
Yeah.
But you just, it's not a good scene with all these, radical Islamic terrorists. Remember when we couldn't say those words together?
Yeah.
We had a president named Barack Hussein Obama, and he said you can't say radical Islamic terrorists.
Yeah.
Just a footnote. Anyways, Chris, always remember what I told you. It's creation versus destruction. Those are the two forces that are fighting each other. All right.
I like it, Tim.
Thanks for letting me rant again today.
I love it. This is why we love having you call in. So thank you for doing that. Yeah, I mean, and like you just said, Tim, I'll just add to this as we see, you know, as we go into the next caller. You know, just sitting here and having these conversations gets you called names on social media. And I laugh all the time at it because it's like common sense for the rest of us who appreciate and love this country and see what the problems are around the world. And we don't want that here. And so for calling out issues like this, they launch full on attacks. I mean, I'm over these last few days dealing with mass reporting. They are mass reporting my Twitter page because they're not happy with my coverage about the facts, So it's a long issue. Let's turn to Russell in Wyoming. Russell, welcome to the show. I hear you want to talk about the state of mind of those on the left. So welcome.
Yeah. Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
You did a great job.
Thank you very much.
Specifically what I was going to bring up, I was coming to remembrance of a guest that was on, and you know, I think it might have been on, maybe it was Tim Pool or Bongino, but back before the election, mental health professional was on. And this doctor, she predicted the state of these left-wing crazies, we're calling them. She predicted everything that's happening to a T. And she said that there were a lot of people that had, you know, they basically fall into the psyop of all the propaganda and everything. And if Trump was elected, which he was, thank God, these people wouldn't, basically, they wouldn't be able to handle it. They would trip out and there would be lots of violence. And I remember these predictions from these healthcare professionals. And, you know, I got to think, maybe if we could get back to that, instead of just calling them crazies and making fun of them, if there's a way they could be helped, if that would be a better way to, if a healthcare professional could turn around and do some good for the country and help these people as that, even if it meant, you know, people who have mental illness don't really want to be helped, so they have to be helped. But no, just I've heard you play several clips of people just being argued with, and they sound completely insane, crazy. And I think by a mental health professional standard, they are. And if we could bring that more in the open that way and actually get them some help, we might get somewhere in this country. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think it'd be a great idea if they were open to it. I think first is admitting that they have a problem, and I don't think that they even understand that. I mean, I could disagree with people politically, not hate them, not become unhinged, you know, have a civil discussion with them. You know, we all have family members we disagree with politically, but these people just become so unhinged. Like the fact that they were attacking that Black MAGA supporter got me really angry, because it's like, this isn't a bad person. And you're talking to him like he doesn't understand, like he is less than you. And I think that is a key point in all of this. Yeah. It would be great if they were able to grasp and get some help and stop becoming so unhinged. To look a man in the eye like this and to completely just go after him because of his skin color and not to imagine that there's anything else behind him, besides the skin color is pretty insane. But this is what they do. I mean, the fact that he's like, I'm using my white privilege to help other people. I mean, go away, kick rocks. That's such an evil thing to say to someone and to have a serious face when doing so. The white privilege is being utilized to go after other Americans who are having different opinions. And it's white liberal privilege, I would say. But Russell, I think you're onto something. It would be great to be able to help people, but I think they need to want the help first. And so I'm on board. But they have to ask for it first. I think that's really critical here. So, you know, we'll sit back and watch and see how that unravels. But, yeah, I think I'll let you have the final word on this, Russell, before we go to the next caller. But I'll let you kind of tell me, what would you say your recommendation is for wanting those to get those on the left to want some type of help?
I don't know how you get them to want it other than the only suggestion I could make is that if we really start calling it out more exactly, less sarcastically, specifically for what it is, people like yourself actually saying this is a severe mental health condition that's occurred because of these circumstances, and these people are our aunts and uncles, but in some cases your mother and father, and how can we help them? We're just trying to take a, if we call it out for what it is, and maybe instead of just just kind of throwing our hands up and making fun of it, a little less. That's my, it's a tough thing. I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. And it is a tough thing. I mean, we could try to work through it. I mean, I offer the help. I like the fact that we're welcoming.
You should have some, you can find that mental health, accredited mental health doctors. Talk to some doctors. Maybe they have better ideas than me.
Well, you're on to something though, Russell. So I like what you're on to. Thank you for calling in and thank you for that. It's an interesting discussion. I definitely appreciate it. Let's turn to Andrew in New Jersey. Welcome back to the show, Andrew. We're excited to have you on.
Thanks. Yes, the Black MAGA guy, he was wrong in his retort, the way that I would approach protesters that were against Trump. And first, I wanted to say that they're totally out of touch because Black men are huge supporters of Trump, and he won more of the Black vote than any Republican since the mid-60s, and he won the Latino vote for the first time in the history of the country. So they're way out of touch if they think Black men don't support Trump. And when I was with Fios News, I was covering a crime story, and that was in 2016, and having nothing to do with the election, and an older Black man saw me from a distance, and he started smiling, and he came up to me and started telling me how much he liked Trump, and, you know, just randomly, at random. It had nothing to do with the election. So they're way out of touch if they think Black men don't like Trump. But what I always do is I engage in policies that Trump accomplished, this prison sentencing reform, the First Step Act, the Second Chance Act. Obama didn't do it. He was jealous of Trump, but Obama was correct. He said it was an element of racism to it and the disproportionate sentencing for Black men with the history of crack cocaine versus powder, which Trump made it more equitable, and also low-level marijuana offenses, which Kamala Harris made a living locking up Black men when she was a prosecutor for marijuana. So I would tell the protesters that Trump reformed it, and Obama was jealous, and because he didn't do it, he could have. He had a super majority 2 years. And also the Federal School Choice Act, because blocking school choice, it's almost like segregation again. Yeah. And like I had told you, not only did I experience it firsthand, seeing how it disproportionately affected Black and Latino kids, 1 year I did portrait photography in schools for yearbooks and stuff, and I could see the same experience that I had as a kid, that in the majority Latino or Black, it's like a pass-through, I call it, where the teachers don't care as much, and they, you know, you just kill time more, and they pass it through. So, and the Platinum Plan, that was a $50 billion investment for African-American startups. And when I would be in cities, and like once in Newark, I was disappointed. It could even sound like a liberal position, that I would see like all the shops are owned by immigrants, which I support, but I was thinking, well, half the people are Black. Why don't Black people that live here own it? And I walked into the little grocery store and it was a Black couple. But yeah, as soon as they spoke, they had a Jamaican accent. So yeah, the Platinum Plan gives economic empowerment. So I always engage and people listen and other people overhear what you're saying. Yeah. And just quick, lastly, it was a Black Lives Matter protest.
Just a heads up.
And the one Black guy that was there, he was agreeing with everything, and he was adding to it to be a better father. Yeah. So it was always the whites that were the most out of touch.
Yeah.
And the
Black. Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate it. The commercial break is going to cut you off because we're wrapping up the show today. But thank you for calling, Andrew. As always, we appreciate hearing from you and everyone else on the lines. Thank you so much. All right, we're all done here on the American Journal. Alex is going to be up next. Just want to remind you all to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's buy one colostrum, get another supplement 50% off for a limited time. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Help fund our next operation. We appreciate it when you support us. All right, I'll be back in this chair tomorrow morning. We look forward to seeing you there as well.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue. So I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it, and you just gave me your brief testimony. So I would look, because, I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best, ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on, I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with methylene blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me with, I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents. And so my biorhythms get all messed up, and so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, be honest though, because you, so you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP, didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate, it's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.